Welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up. Get to me. Did y'all see the Sunday talk shows? If it's Sunday, it must be conservative. We had a lot of talk on the radio, on the televisions about UAE taking over control, management of ports. The Dubai company has said, we're going to give, just feel where we are, y'all. Feel where we are. The Dubai company has said, we are going to ask, they are going to ask, that Dubai company is going to ask for an additional 45-day investigation. George Bush didn't ask for it. The company said, let's do it. Ain't that some stuff? Ain't that some stuff? And, you know, I was listening to that awful fake Democrat Chuck Schumer now trying to sound all pious and pious is not the word. Now trying to sound presidential now trying to sound like he can kick, you know, he's tough. Same person that after talking Hackett into the Democrat, Hackett into the race in Ohio, senatorial race, then went behind Hackett's back and dried up his funding. But anyway, I digress. Schumer is now saying, trying to seize the we're tough on terrorism too posturing. And I got to ask this question because I am a woman who is clear-eyed and pragmatic. I have to ask the question, or may at least make the observation, how many pins have to be knocked down before the Democrats are willing to roll the ball? Okay, how many pins does the guy next door to the alley of the bowling lane of the Democratic Party, how many pins does he have to knock down for them before they get the guts up to roll the ball? I just got to ask. I just want to know. After all, Tom DeLay is gone. The Republicans have been indicted on corruption. Scooter Libby has been indicted. Dick Cheney is off shooting people in the head and the heart. The Iraq war is exploding all over the place. Y'all gonna step up now? How many pins have to be knocked down before you get enough courage and strength to pick up the bowling ball and roll it down the lane? Huh? I guess maybe enough pins are knocked down that Democrats are now saying, now picking up this mantle on, you're not tough on terrorism. Let's go get them. But here's the thing. We've been told that the UAE government that's poised to take over port terminal operations. Remember all last week we were told it was 6 ports, right? No, baby, it's 21. 21. 21. Four five four oh 400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Is this a coincidence? And maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just Liz Brown's way of looking at the world. A sheik from the UAE, the same folks that the government-owned company that's getting ready to take over. I want to take over our ports. Maybe it's just me. But a sheik from UAE has contributed at least $1 million to the Bush Library Foundation, which established George Bush Presidential Library at Texas A&M University in College Station. Huh? Huh? Well, huh? Huh? Let me just say that again, because I got one more in me. Huh? A sheik from the UAE contributed at least $1 million to the Bush Library Foundation. Who is the UAE? They own Dubai Port Corp Company, which is taking operations from the London-based Peninsular and Oriental Steam Navigation Companies that operate 6 ports. Donations were made in the library. What is the George Bush Presidential Library house? It houses the papers of former George Bush. The list of donors names Sheikh Zayed bin Sultan and Nayan Sheikh Zayed bin Sultan Al Nayan, and the people of the UAE as one donor in the, are you ready for this, $1 million or more column. $1 million or more. What does $1 million or more get you in the Bush house? $1 million or more gets you $3.6 billion. I say it's money well invested. If you give $1 million or more, you get a $3.6 billion investment and you get 21 ports. 21 ports. Roman Papadouk. He's the chairman of the Bush Library Foundation that collects the donations. I imagine that's a 24/7 job. And nobody with the last name of Smith is donating. He says he could not discuss the details of the gifts except to say that the amount category and whether it was before or after 1997. $1 million or more to the Bush Library. What's that get you? That's a whole lot of currency in America. That's a whole lot of currency of Americans. Hundreds of large donors include, half a million donation from Dick Cheney get you? I guess it gets you a vice presidency. What does a big donation from Kenny Lay get you? Well, it was pretty good for a while. It was a good run while it lasted. Kuwait has given a whole lot of money for this library. The Korean Prime Minister has given a lot of money for the library. And China has given lots and lots of money. I guess if you throw up on the Chinese, they give you tens of thousands of dollars for your library. It's a good deal if you can get it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. That wasn't the Chinese. I think that was the Japanese. I'm sorry. It's a funny line anyway. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Sandy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was just wondering, how do you think these conservatives are feeling now that they're concerned about terrorism and this administration is saying, well, you know, you're just racist?
They've got to be confused, Sandy, because they're like, but we've always been racist. Why is that a problem now?
The real thing is this administration has been, every time they want anything done, they you know, terrorism.
But they all,
terrorism,
but they play the race card too. They play the race card. They want people to have these feelings. Why do you think it was so easy to conduct a preemptive strike?
Oh,
all you had to do was paste up the pictures of people that don't look like white men.
Right.
So now all of a sudden it's wrong. It's a confusing time to be a Republican, I would say.
I would think, you know, that these people are just, you know, kind of in shell shock, you know.
Yes, they are.
They're you know, they're reacting exactly the way he's programmed to react, you know, for the last 4.5 years or so. And now he does this, and they act the way he's programmed him to act, and now he's calling them names. So
it's a confusing time to be a conservative Republican, Sandy.
Okay, thank you.
All right, 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. They're like, huh? Wait a minute. Every other time that we've done this, we've gotten a little doggy treat. We've been rewarded for doing this. Now when is it? What, huh? Yeah, oh, Lord, it's confusing times. It's confusing times to be a conservative Republican. The Bush administration is calling them racist. People are really, really lying on their psychiatrist's couches because they just don't understand what has gotten into George. The one thing that the Republicans always felt that they could take the lead on is this issue of terrorism. They've bent over and they've said, okay, it's okay for you to spy on us. They've bent over and said, it's okay for you to torture people. They've bent over and said, it's okay if you kidnap people and take them to other countries that do a better job of torturing than our CIA. That's okay, too. They've bent over and they said, it's okay to tap Americans' phones. It's okay. They've bent over and they said, it's okay if you go into libraries and demand their records. That's okay. Because those scary, scary terrorists are coming after us. It's okay if the President of the United States stands in front of a million people and says, wanted dead or alive. It's okay to have target practice pictures of dark-skinned people as your prey. It's okay, isn't it? I'm so confused. The Republicans are so confused. And now the same guy that said all of that stuff was okay is now calling them racist. Oh, Jesus, it's such a confusing time. And to be a Republican, what are we going to do? And the problem is that that's the only thing that they know how to do. You can't teach an old dog new tricks, especially in the middle of his performance. You can't teach an old dog new tricks while he's already fetching. You can't. Ooh. Ooh. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you saw any of the Republicans on the Sunday morning shows, they all were looking, they were all a bit scattered. They're all a bit scattered, and because you got to admit they're out on unfamiliar territory, and they're hollering, "Go get the terrorists! They're Arab. If it's Sunday and they're Arab, they must be terrorists." And George Bush is saying, whoa, slow up that racist rhetoric. Huh? 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 What do you mean slow up? Slow up on the rap that we've been engaged in for 6 years? In a post 9/11 world, how can I not go after Arabs? Oh. Whew, we need to light some candles for the poor Republicans that are confused about the direction that their party is taking. This is unfamiliar territory that George Bush is trying to. It's like trying to teach a 15-year-old dog how to fly. We're now supposed to be governing our behavior based upon it not being racist. How do we do that? It's like you can't teach a 70-year-old hunting dog how to fly. It's not going to happen. Ooh, these are confusing times. These are confusing times. Whoo! That dog won't hunt. That dog can't fly either. Whoo! We got to take a break. We got to take a break. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax, my toll-free long-distance number. It is 1-877-920-WGNU. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I'll be back. Stay with me.
She's afraid. Afraid what they've been through is not right. He doesn't know what to say. She'll be praised. Whatever, 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 whatever happens. Don't let go of my head.
Good morning, St. Louis, 31 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Gold's Gym. Southbound 55 between Route M and Route Z in Peavely, there's a report of an accident. Right lane is blocked. Northbound 55 from Merrimack Bottom to Rivas Barracks looks good. Eastbound 44 from 141 all the way into Lindbergh looks good. Eastbound 40 from 94 to Timberlake Manor is flowing freely. Eastbound 70 from the Blanchett Bridge to Hanley, no problems to report there. Northbound 270 from Gravois to Marshall, look for normal traffic. Westbound 270 from the Canal Bridge to Bell Fountain, no problems to report there. 70 at T.R. Hughes. The report of a vehicle fire westbound 5570 from Route 3 onto the PSB. Look for slow traffic westbound 64 at the 5570 split. Nothing there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic between the 5570 split and Memorial Drive looks good. Northbound Route 3 from Queenie onto the ramps to the approaches of the Poplar Street Bridge. Everything is on the move. Eastbound 64 between 159 and 157 over on the east side. Look for slow traffic due to construction, and U.S. 67 at Victoria, look for slow traffic due to an earlier accident. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Gold's Gym. That New Year's resolution starts today. Join Gold's Gym and get 50% off enrollment or 2 for 1 when you bring a friend. Hurry, offer ends tomorrow. Call 1-800-88-GOLDS. I'm sorry, 1-800-99-GOLDS or visit goldsgym.com for more details. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, Wednesday. Breezy, partly cloudy, high in the lower 60s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low around 40. For Tuesday, partly cloudy, high near 70. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 40s. And then on Wednesday, partly sunny, chance of showers and a possible thunderstorm in the afternoon. The highs are expected in the lower 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 37 degrees under clear skies. Lambert Field is reporting the same, 37 and clear skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4 here on AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, folks. This is Decent Guy Dunn. Join me at midnight every Monday through Friday right here on WGNU. Yes, you heard right. Every night at midnight, Monday through Friday. Congress isn't the only group of people up at midnight, don't you know? Now the conspiracy hunter is flying under cover of darkness with night vision at the ready to uncover what's going on in Washington and in world capitals and to discuss it with you. It's information that matters to all of us. Remember, join me at midnight Monday through Friday for The Conspiracy Hunter with Decent Guy Don Griffin on AM 920 WGNU, the station with something for everyone, even at midnight. See you then.
The champions are coming. Direct from the 2006 Winter Games in Torino, it's John Hancock, Champions on Ice. Don't miss your chance to see all the newly crowned world and national champions, featuring Michelle Kwan, Sasha Cohen, Johnny Weir, plus Irina Slutskaya, Evgeny Plashenko, Stefan Lombiev, Kenneth Velvet, and Ben Augusto, and many more champions. You've seen them winning gold, silver, and bronze, world championships, and national titles. Now, see the greatest figure skaters in the world live. The music, the lights, and the big production numbers that make Champions on Ice the only show to see. The champions are coming. John Hancock, Champions on Ice. Treat yourself and your family to this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to see the best figure skaters in the world. Coming to Savas Center, Sunday, June 18th at 3 p.m. Call 314-241-1888 for tickets today.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Because you want to know what you're going to get in just a little touch of star quality.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up. Get up. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Ms. Liz Brown.
Brother Al, good morning.
You know, Friday, Liz, on one of your segments, you said you can't fix stupid. You remember you said that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, my ability to read and understand what I read, Miss Liz Brown, causes me mental anguish. But I want to bring some charges first against the city of St. Louis and the state of Missouri for enjoining and being complicit in the greed that the Cleve Gas has put on its citizens here. They are doubling and tripling their income off of our taxes that we pay into the Cleve Gas. Liz, I also want to bring charges against our elected state officials for falsifying their applications. They did not tell us they were inept and they could not read. I understand 175 of them voted for Bill 179, 7 abstained against it. Jay Nixon says it's illegal, it's unlawful, and he's going to try to fight it. It's one vote that's cast from me. It will be for Jay Nixon because he will stand up and fight for the citizens of Missouri. I think everybody needs to call their representatives and ask them, did they falsify the educational level and lie to us and did not inform us that they did not know how to read? Thank you, Liz.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You know what is interesting? We're spending a lot of time talking about this port takeover by Dubai and the UAE. And it's a story. It's a story that most of Europe is not paying attention to. It's not a big story across the pond, as they say. But it's a big story here in this country. And what's fascinating is the fact that there is a bigger story out there. And the irony, the political irony of the time that we live in is I bet you by golly wow that in the scheme of things, George W. Bush would rather be talking about this Dubai issue, but that talking about the Dubai issue comes as a relief and a welcome distraction to the George Bush administration. Let me tell you why. Because they sure don't want you talking about the destruction of this Shia shrine and what is happening in Iraq as a result of it. Because if we were to talk about that, we would have to talk about how this country is going into civil war thanks to George W. Bush. We would be talking about how the Shiites are saying that the mosque was destroyed by the United States, the CIA, because the United States is trying to strengthen their ties with the Sunnis. We would be talking about the hundreds of people that are being killed as a result of this bombing of this mosque. This is a big, 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 big deal. This is a huge deal. Let's back up just a little bit so that you can feel the full impact of this big deal. And part of the bigness of this deal, one of the reasons why this is such a big deal, is because the United States can do virtually nothing to stop what's happening. What the United States, what George Bush has done, as he has invested almost all of his efforts in the legitimacy of the Shiite-led government. And remember, this is despite the fact that the Shiites are road dogs of Iran. Just feel that for a second. The Bush administration, George W. Bush, the cheerleader, is in a relationship with the Shiites. And he's pushing the legitimacy of the Shiites. The Shiites are the road dogs, best buddy, bukum buddy of Iran. Now, who's Iran? That's who George Bush wants to go to war against. This sounds like a plan of a cheerleader. Okay? So, the Shiites also have perpetrated well-documented abuses. The Shiites have imposed a repressive Sharia law. Now, in the meantime, while George Bush is engaged in a love fest with the Shiites and saying they're legitimate, they're number one, he's also working hard to get Sunni parties like the Iraqi Accord Front to invest in the legitimacy of the political process. While they're over there making out with the Shiites, they're also trying to get the Sunnis to buy into the relationship. Now, here's the tricky thing. The Shiites are the ones that believe that Washington blew up the mosque because Washington is siding with the Sunnis. And why wouldn't the Shiites believe that? Because the Shiites' best friends are who? The Iranians. Now, and then don't forget the Kurds. They're also seeing that, well, shoot, if you can't hold together your relationship with the Shiites and the Sunnis are mad at you, too, why should we hop into this political process and hold on to something that a crumbling relationship that you can't even fix? So, in essence, the cheerleader, George W. Bush, has alienated every team on the field. He has no friends. Nobody likes this cheerleader. Nobody does. So what's gonna happen? An all-out war. An all-out civil war. It's an all-out civil war. The Shiites are in control. And their best friends are the Iranians. And al-Zarqawi is considered a prophet now. We're going to take a break, folks. We're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to stay with me. Because I ain't down here.
One always picks the easy fight. One praises fools. One smothers light. One shifts from left to right. Politics, the art of the possible.
You are listening to AM 920 WGNU.
All global news update. Dateline Baghdad. American Ambassador Zalmay Khalilzad says everything possible is going on to prevent Iraq from erupting into a civil war. Khalilzad had previously laid out a strategy of building a broad-based government of national unity, but then the bombing of one of the holiest shrines in the nation threw everything into chaos. He says a number of intense meetings have taken place with every leader of every group to try and avoid further violence. Khalilzad has urged the defense and interior ministries be positioned with more Sunnis and that the power of Shia militias be cut back. But that has met with negative results from the Shias thus far. Advisors have concluded that if a civil war does happen, the United States may have to throw its support to another Saddam Hussein-style ruler who will have to be vicious enough to put a stop to all the unrest. And Dateline Washington. Another deal has been hatched concerning the proposed takeover of American ports by a Dubai-based company. Dubai Ports World says it will create an American subsidiary that will operate out of the control of the company head in Dubai. This entity will review the security risks being associated with the proposed takeover for a 45-day period. A British citizen will have authority over the American ports while this review takes place, and an American citizen will be given control of security during this time. Dubai Ports World says it hopes that this arrangement will prove it is a valuable ally to the U.S. But DP World says it will retain its right to sue for damages if the deal gets stopped after this review takes place. A White House spokesman says he hopes this offer will be the sort of intense scrutiny that members of Congress have been concerned about and will be enough to appease members who have threatened to block the deal. This is your wake-up call global news update.
We're waiting for your calls at WGNU. From the local calling area, just dial 314-454-0400. If you're calling long distance, the toll-free number is 1-877-920-WGNU. If you are calling long distance from a car phone or want to use a particular name on the air, please let us know when you call. Get into Talk Radio with a Difference. That's Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 4 weekday afternoons on AM 920 WGNU. Then, stay tuned for Dave Linehan with today's solutions as he discusses what matters most to you.
You want your preschooler to be ready for school. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is ready to help you prepare your preschooler not only for school, but also for life. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is an outreach of Trinity Tabernacle, Assembly of God in Bridgeton. Your child, age 2 to 4, receives a non-denominational Bible curriculum with Bible stories, songs, arts and crafts, plus lessons in numbers, science, arts, and phonics to help prepare him or her for kindergarten. Your child will also grow personally, socially, educationally, and spiritually every day as a unique individual created by God. Call Christine at 314-291-8839 to learn more about Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center and to register your child. Open Monday through Friday from 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center, 11950 Mark Twain Drive in Bridgeton, 314-291-8839. Serving the community since 1979.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
I wonder why I even try. Well, I try because I like to finish what I start, and I have faith it can get better tomorrow. But it won't if you keep treating me like I'm invisible.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
Remember the Boston Tea Party and others, government talking and different things? People need to wake up and live. When I heard about that Civil War, I said, this is some more of the CIA's work.
So you're wait a minute. You're talking about the bombing of the mosque.
Yes.
Okay.
And we are destroying all of that antiquities. America has no antiquities. The other thing is, you know, you can go to some countries and see the different styles of structures and what have you, architecture and this. You can't go over that as a tourist because America has destroyed everything that a tourist could have really appreciated. And they think those folk haven't waken up, because last week I heard on the television news that one of their envoys in New York said he believed the CIA was behind it. He believed America was behind it. These people are beginning to wake up. And the other thing is, last night I saw, as they ended the Olympics, that there was a black man from World War II. No blacks, no matter what they did, even though their white officers sent them into suicide missions hoping they would all get killed, they never got the highest Congressional Medal of Honor. So this man, in his late 70s and maybe his 80s, finally got a Congressional Medal of Honor. And it's about time. And I think that some of these young people now are looking at this before they go into service. You can't do enough for America. The only thing you can do is die and be forgotten. And you have a wonderful day. You have a wonderful show.
Thank you. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. There's so much, so much to talk about. You can't do enough for America except die. And that kind of sums up the Bush administration, doesn't it? My email address is revolution@lizbrown.com. Don't forget, we are archived daily at White Rose Society .com, WhiteRoseSociety.com. We are archived. You think that things are not going bad in Iraq? You think there's a reason why this administration would rather hold on to a conversation about the UAE and Dubai taking over the ports than talk about what's going on in Iraq right now? Check it out. The only Iraqi battalion, now remind you, after billions of dollars being spent in Iraq, the only Iraqi battalion capable of fighting without U.S. support has been downgraded to a level requiring them to fight with American troops backing them up. And how many people are in an Iraqi battalion? 700 to 800 Iraqi soldiers. And this is the battalion that's been shaken in your face, saying, see, it's working. It's working. We have a whole battalion of Iraqi soldiers that we've trained that are ready to fight without our help. This is proof that that the army is growing independent. It's working. George Bush's plan is working. It's not. The battalion, according to the Pentagon, was downgraded from level 1 to level 2 after a recent quarterly assessment of its capability. Huh. Although officials would not cite a specific reason for downgrading the unit, its readiness has dropped in the wake of new commander and numerous changes in combat and support units. Whoo! How's it working for us? How's George Bush's plan working for us? Huh? How's it working for us? Madison.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to just make two quick comments, and I'm trying to listen to you every day. You're very informative. But I don't know if anyone mentioned to you that the great Kubota passed away.
No.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Really? When did he die?
Last Tuesday.
Oh, bless his heart.
Yeah, so I thought, you know, he was a regular caller for you, and I know a lot of people. Listen, I've been listening to you for years, and I heard it on another radio station yesterday.
Okay.
Well, I just thought it was kind of sad.
Yeah, it is.
I thought I'd let you know. And keep on educating us because we need it.
All right. Thank you.
454-0400
is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Yep. The plan is not working too well. Not working too well. The billion-dollar, trillion-dollar plan that's taken American lives and money is not working. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz. No, it was just that I was calling in to... Did anyone know about the Greg Kubota passing?
Didn't you just hear?
Hmm.
A caller just mentioned it.
Yes.
Okay.
That was it.
It
was of our longtime callers.
Okay.
Thank you. Have a good day.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Yeah, I was just calling to tell you about the Annie Malone parade. I was really impressed at the Board of Aldermen this past Friday about what was said by Alderperson Boyd, Bozzy, King, and Turpin about the move from the old location to downtown, and it was very interesting. But speaking with Mr. Phillips and King, it's about money, and the move is going to be permanent. It's about helping the kids.
It is not about helping the kids, and let me tell you how it's not about helping the kids. The person that is running this, the Annie Malone facility right now, has said out his mouth, "I don't know if we're going to get more money out of this. We're just thinking that we're going to get more money out of this, that there's going to be more money for the vendors." How do you take the children that are serviced by the Annie Malone home are largely, almost entirely, children of African descent. How do you make children of African descent grow up well-rounded, well-balanced children when you're the organization that is tending to them is telling them that we don't do anything in the black community? We have to move to another. We will move to another community because we don't want to be around people of African descent. It's a horrible message to the children. It's a horrible plan by the executive director. Clearly, he has no experience. Clearly, he has no thought, and clearly, he doesn't know what he's talking about. It's absurd. It's an absurd thing. You're on the wake-up call. Robin.
Good morning, Miss Brown. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
I just got home from Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just listening to, because I was listening to you talk about, you know, what's going on with Bush, you know what I'm saying, the Bush man. And the one call that called about the May Day parade.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with you 100%. It's not about, you know, expanding, you know, letting everybody know about the Medic.
That's a lie.
Everybody knows about Annie Malone.
That's a lie. It's a lie.
It's an outright and smack in your face.
Yes, it is. And it demonstrates the incompetence of the executive director.
And one thing, I know you're going to go to your, can I call back? Because I want to talk to you one more thing about Bashan High School.
Okay.
I was there last week. Why did they move all of the chairs out of the waiting area for the parents? Do you hear me, Ms. Brown? And they said, Clive Coleman told me. Clive Coleman told me to do it.
Another incompetent. Another incompetent.
And I called Clive. Told him, he called me back. He said he wasn't him. It was Dr. Hutchinson, the vice principal at the Shot High School.
It was the superintendent, Craig Williams. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
I'll be back after the news. Stay with me.
Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. It's what President Bush wants. He's getting more time to prove to fellow Republicans that giving an Arab-owned company control of six ports would not be a security risk. Here's ABC's Ann Compton.
Under intense congressional pressure, Dubai Ports World is formally asking the White House to start all over again, reviewing the deal to run six major harbors. First time around, lower-ranking officials gave the okay, finding no national security worries. But some senators are still not satisfied. They are introducing legislation giving Congress the power to reject the business deal. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
The president's also gotten a letter from 18 House Democrats. They want him to appoint a special counsel as soon as possible to determine if his domestic surveillance program is legal. Iraqi kidnappers had threatened to kill American journalist Jill Carroll over the weekend unless all female prisoners were released. But U.S. Ambassador Zalmi Khalilzad believes she's still alive.
She's clearly in a dangerous situation, but we're working hard with the Iraqis and others to get her released. That's what we're working for.
Iraq's interior minister tells ABC News he believes Carol will be released at some point. A new survey on Hurricane Katrina says 50 cents out of each dollar in donations went out to cash to victims, but more than half of the remaining donations are controlled by faith-based organizations. The Washington Post says this is the first detailed examination of the donations and how they're being used. In Rio, Carnival is in full swing. It's one of the big events before the Lenten season begins for Christians around the world. The other celebration, Mardi Gras.
One woman told me, think of it as Christmas, Easter, and Thanksgiving all wrapped up into one for the people who live here. That's how they think of Mardi Gras. In fact, the schools are even out for the first part of this week. Tulane University has told its students to go. Have a good time.
ABC's Alex Stone. This is ABC News.
How can students improve their test scores? Well, there's tutoring, cramming, perhaps praying. We suggest throwing a brick at the problem. No, really. Talk to a member of the American Institute of Architects. We can turn piles of bricks into amazing schools, specially designed to inspire and motivate students and to optimize their learning and success. Talk to an AIA architect, and don't wait till the night before the test. AIA, good design makes a difference. Visit AIA.org.
This new Medicare business was pretty confusing to me. I was in Walmart the other day and asked the pharmacist about it. She told me Walmart and Sam's Club pharmacies accept all Medicare plans. I just showed her my Medicare prescription drug card. She filled all of my prescriptions. No hassle, no problem. It was just that easy. I've got better things to do than deal with confusing prescription details, so from here on in, I'm going to Walmart or Sam's Club pharmacy for my Medicare prescriptions.
Arrivederci, Torino. The 2006 Winter Olympic Games came and they went in just 1,447 days from now. We're going to do it all over again in Vancouver. Well, most of us who have TiVo preferred the agony of defeat to the thrill of victory when it came to watching the games and reviewing them. The most reviewed moment, for example, was the fall by a Canadian ice dancer.
I think there's an element of just wanting to see exactly what caused it, you know, whose hands may have slipped, or being able to just dissect the moment over and over again, because it is so heartbreaking, those types of moments.
But TiVo's vice president of marketing, Katie Ho, says we might just be sick, too. This is scary. Doctors say they're seeing more patients with staph infections. They used to be non-existent outside of hospitals, but now they say people are getting them just about everywhere, from jails to high school gyms, and the worst part of it, antibiotics don't work on many strains. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Here's an update of WGNU News. This report is brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. I'm Peyton Colston reporting.
In the news, the city of Blackjack is denying an occupancy permit to an unmarried couple and their children. Officials say Fondre Loving, Olivia Sheltrack, and their three children were denied the permit because zoning regulations define a family as, quote, an individual or two or more persons related by blood, marriage, or adoption, or a group of not more than three persons who need not be related. Last month, city officials claimed Sheltrack tried to obtain an occupancy permit by listing only herself, Loving, and one of their children on the application. Loving and Sheltrack, according to officials, have the right to appeal to St. Louis County Circuit Court. In Jefferson City, a bill restricting protests at Missouri funerals is now law, but without the signature of Governor Matt Blunt. Since Blunt was traveling over the weekend, the Funeral Decency Act was signed into law by State Senate President Pro Tem Michael Gibbons in the capacity of acting governor. The bill bans picketing and protesting at funeral services from 1 hour before the service until 1 hour after the service. The bill has an emergency clause attached, which means the bill is effective immediately. In other news, as it prepares to open two casino development projects in the area, Pinnacle Entertainment has its eyes on another St. Louis casino. Pinnacle says it has entered into an agreement to purchase the President Casino for about $31.5 million. The agreement calls for a bankruptcy auction to occur by mid-May. The purchase agreement will be submitted to U.S. Bankruptcy Court and the Missouri Gaming Commission and could still be overbid by another buyer. The President Casino has been involved in legal action against a former potential buyer, Columbia Sussex, which pulled out of its plan to buy the casino last October. And finally, residents living on and around Mark Twain Lake are concerned that a proposed hog confinement farm could be approved and then operate near the lake. David Lukemeyer of Baldwin wants to build the operation on 400 acres he owns near Mark Twain Lake. Locals worry that the smell and waste pollution created by the confinement pen will hurt their quality of life and lower their property values. Public comments being accepted by the Missouri Department of Natural Resources until March 2nd. And that's WGNU News, brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. New, the Illinois Lottery's Veterans Cash. 100% of proceeds supports health care services and disability programs for Illinois veterans. Play Veterans Cash today, because when you play, everybody wins. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Granite Works. Northbound 55 between Merrimack Bottom and Rivas Barracks, look for normal traffic. Eastbound 44 from 141 to Lindbergh, look for no problems there. Eastbound 40 between 94 and Timberlake Manor is running smoothly. Eastbound 70 from Blanchett Bridge all the way into Hanley looks good. Northbound 270 from 44 to Marshall, got slow traffic there. Westbound 270 from Illinois Route 3 to Canal Bridge, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road all the way into 79, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 44 from Merrimack River Bridge to 270, look for slow traffic in the right lane getting onto the ramps to 270. Eastbound 40 between 170 and Hanley, look for that traffic to be building. Westbound 5570 from 4th Street on the PSB, look for slow traffic. Westbound 64 between Abao Avenue, look for no problems to report there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the railroad overpass all the way onto Laclede's Landing looks good. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from Monsanto onto the approaches of the Poplar Street Bridge, no problems there. Lindbergh at Eddy and Park. At southbound Lindbergh at Indian Park, look for an accident. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Granite Works. Granite Works just got a new shipment of beautiful granite, exotic new colors like Safari Brown, as little as $38 a square foot. Visit today or call 862-6300. That's 862-6300. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Breezy, partly cloudy, high in the lower 60s. Partly cloudy with a low around 40 this evening. Partly cloudy with a high near 70 for Tuesday. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 40s. And on Wednesday, partly sunny skies. Chance of showers and or thunderstorms in the afternoon. The highs should be in the 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 38 degrees under clear skies. Lambert Fields reporting 38. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and your weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African, a Nigerian, and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And don't forget, we are streamed every day, every hour on the World Wide Web at WGNU.net, also LizBrown.com. We are archived every day. The wake-up call is archived every day at whiterosesociety.org, huh? So there are all kinds of ways to get to us. If you missed a show, you can go get a show. You can check out my website, lizbrown.com, to get additional information about the shows that we do here. So those are my digits. That's my information. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. We were talking a bit in the last hour about a horrific thing that is occurring locally. Now, the reason why sometimes you mention local things is because you can make the tie-in to the national issues that confront us on a daily basis. Here locally in the city of St. Louis, a travesty is set to happen. There is an organization that's over 100 years old, near 100 years old. Annie Malone, it's a home for children with needs, orphan children, children that have trouble staying in their homes, and children largely of African descent. For decades and decades, and the Annie Malone, as a fundraiser, has had a parade all through North St. Louis. North St. Louis, predominantly people of African descent. It's historic. Lots of money is earned by vendors, local vendors. It's the largest, one of the largest African parades in the United States. Hundreds of thousands of people turn out to that parade. Now, what is fixing to happen is that there's been a change in the CEO of the Annie Malone House. And now that particular leader wants to move it to a whiter part of town, seeking diversity. Diversity. in other words, seeking to whiten it up. Now, it is amazing thing to think that in the year 2006, we have one of the largest African parades in the United States of America pursuing something outside of its community to the detriment of its community. And the new CEO of the Annie Malone Parade would do well to understand the history of people of African descent and understand the importance of history in tying a community to itself, empowering a community, that those babies that they take care of at the Annie Malone home are now made weaker as a result of this action by their organization and pursuing interest, outside of their own community at the destruction of their community. Huh? History is important. We must understand our history. We must be connected to our history. We must know what we have done. We must know what was done before us. And we must know what was done before that. And one way that we can understand and we can know what our history is by partaking in events that make our history clearer and also lay out a roadmap towards the future. And that is something that's fixing to happen next week. There will be a National Black Unity Convention in Gary, Indiana. Everybody's, what are they doing? What's the word? What's the phrase? Going back to Indiana. And I have two people here with me this morning to talk about the origin, the reason that there is this gathering, and the history that has led us to this gathering. I have joining me this morning William Lucy, the International Secretary Treasurer of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. He's joining us from San Diego. William Lucy, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm outstanding. And we also have joining us is Richard Hatcher. He's the co-chairman of the National Black Unity Convention and the former mayor of Gary, Indiana. He's joining us from Gary.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm outstanding. I want to start with you, if I may, Mr. Hatcher. Talk to us about what happened before, what's going to happen on next week.
First of all, approximately 33 years ago, a little more than 33 years ago,
In 1972, a national black political convention was held in Gary, Indiana. Out of that meeting came a surge in African-American participation in electoral politics around the country. At the time, we had approximately 300 black elected officials in the United States. Today, we have well over 16,000, and many of those individuals were inspired to run, to become involved in electoral politics as a consequence of the Gary meeting in 1972. Next month, that is March 9th through the 12th, we will hold another meeting in Gary, Indiana. Only this time, instead of emphasizing politics, we will place the emphasis on economic empowerment of the African-American community nationally. And basically, we hope to see the same successful result from that meeting that we saw from the 1972 meeting.
And William Lucy, why the move? Why the move from politics to economic empowerment?
Well, Liz, I think that's a natural transition. As Dick pointed out, we want to focus on economic issues. The theme of the conference is Policies for Progress, a Struggle for a New Economic Order. It's clear that the successes of Gary in 1972 has really brought thousands of people into the political process where their skills and their talent can be used to participate in the policy process. What our community needs are jobs, as Dick said, economic development, community development, and to really look towards how we rebuild and continue to build the infrastructure of our community and stabilize it so that we can have economic development.
But isn't the economic development potential, the economic development period of a community directly tied to its political power? And if we've gone from 300 elected African officials to 16,000, shouldn't we be in a better shape economically?
I think one of the things we have learned, it's a bitter lesson, but we've learned over time, is that only political power is not sufficient. It is true that economic and political power are tied together. You can't separate those two, and so this meeting will not attempt to do that. However, we have learned that political power alone is not enough, and that even though we may be in a position in any community in the United States to participate and influence the political decisions, if we can't influence and participate in the economic decisions, then we will not succeed in our goal of equality and justice in this country.
I might add, Liz, what Dick says, in 1972 and in the intervening years, our communities have not grappled with the issues of globalization of the economy. We have not grappled with the issues of the impact of trade. As an example, the auto industry, which really brought just hundreds of thousands of our community into the middle class status, that is a declining industry now, and we've got to understand the implications of trade and the implications of competing in a global economic market, so we can at least figure out how to position ourselves to deal with these changing situations.
Well, what will you say, Mr. Lucy? I mean, what do you say to a room full of people of African descent, ages 70 and older to 18 years old? What do you tell black folks?
Well, I think the first thing is to understand what we're dealing with. I mean, we're not powerless, nor is many of our communities poverty-stricken. We're depressed, but not out of the game. I think what we're going to talk about is how do we marry the existing power within the community, the church community, the business community, the trade union community, the labor workers community. How do we marry them so that the resources of all of these various groups can be used to generate new employment within our community? How do we take a look at our education system to see what we really need to do, not a debate about vouchers or this, but what do we really need to teach our kids so they can at least qualify for the coming jobs of the future? So they're looked upon as an asset as opposed to a liability. I mean, these are the foundations for any changes that we want to approach and have to approach. We'll also, let me just make this point, Liz.
Mm-hmm.
We'll also have individuals from the business community who can tell us what they see coming down the pike in the context of business interests, so that we can all understand from the same perspective what we have to do as leaders of our community to prepare for the changes coming.
Well, Mr. Hatcher, you talked about the inspiration that came out of Gary in 1972. I mean, it's a remarkable number to go from 300 elected officials of African descent to 16,000, and people were inspired by the opportunity and inspired by the charge to go out there and to change the world politically. How do you inspire people in the year 2006 when it feels like in many respects that things are worse in many respects?
Well, there's no saying that the more things change, the more they remain the same. And to some degree, we are confronted with that reality in America as a people today, that although much has changed and much progress has been made, and as I mentioned, in the political arena particularly, there are certain things that are still the same, and that is the gap between, for example, African-American income and white income in this country. And so from that point of view, we have to inspire people to talk about, think about, as Bill says, to really understand why that gap remains and what has to be done in order to close it. And I do think by having a meeting such as this, trying to bring some of our very best minds together, our very best thinkers together, and have them outline strategies, ways in which to close that gap, will be not only informative, but it will also be inspirational. And from that point of view, the meeting can be very important.
Mr. Lucy, the role of the unions, and the role of the unions in particular with people of African descent, and given the fact that we are moving to, as you've described, a global economy and a global worldview, what role do you see that the unions play in that, and particularly for people of African descent?
Well, a very interesting thing is taking place within the House of Labor. As we look at the change in the economic situation nationally and internationally, African Americans and their role in organized labor is on the ascent. I mean, in many cities and counties and states now, the leading representatives of unions are African Americans, and they're beginning to understand that the power of organized labor is not just at the workplace, but also in the community, and that there are resources and there are access to resources that if we can find the right partnerships, we ought to be able to talk about how we create jobs, how we assist in the creation of business.
Give us an example of one of those partnerships that has resulted in jobs for communities.
Well, across the country, we've had situations where what is called the Housing Investment and Trust Department, or the Building Investment and Trust Departments of the AFL-CIO, whose mission in life is to redevelop and assist in the development of projects within the community with a job-creating policy at its core. I mean, from Milwaukee to Chicago to New York, all of these things are occurring. It's simply that we need to formalize our situation within our communities so that we can be a part of that. Major infrastructure projects that are fostered by labor and by business for a clear, you know, economic benefit. But we have to be a part of those programs.
But doesn't that go back to the political component of that? I mean, isn't an organization's connection or a community's connection to the number of people that they have on a construction site directly tied to the political clout that the community is able to muster?
Absolutely. During the latter years, the mid-years, I should say, of the last administration, the Clinton administration, We saw unemployment in our community go down to the lowest level that it's been in 40 or 50 years. And this was the result of a couple of very clear projects.
And will you hold that thought, please, because we have to take a break.
Sure.
Okay. I'm talking to William Lucy, the International Secretary-Treasurer of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. He's joining us from San Diego. And Richard Hatcher, co-chairman of the National Black Unity Convention. And he's also the former mayor of Gary, Indiana, joining us from Gary, Indiana. We're talking about the National Black Unity Convention from on March. From March 9th to March 12th. This is Liz Brown, The Wake Up Call. I'll be back.
What's real and going on below, but now you never show it to me, do you? And remember when I moved in you, the holy dark was moving too, and every breath we drew was hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Northbound 270 between 55 and Tesson Ferry. There's an accident. Right lane is blocked. Traffic is backed up through I-55. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill to 270. Expect delays because of that incident. Eastbound 70 from Blanchette all the way into Hanley. Look for no problems report. Westbound 270 from Illinois Route 3 to Canal Bridge. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road to 79, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 44 from Merrimack River Bridge to 270, slow traffic in the right lane on the approaches to the 270 off-ramps. Eastbound 40 from Ballast to Lindbergh, look for slow traffic as well. Eastbound 40 from Timberlake Manor to Mason, look for slight delays. Westbound 44, an accident on the right shoulder, and that's at westbound 44 in Hampton. Westbound 5570 from 4th Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Slow traffic there. Westbound 64 at Powell Avenue. Look for no problems to report. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the railroad overpass all the way into Laclede's Landing looks good. Northbound Route 3 from Monsanto onto the approaches of Poplar Street Bridge. Nothing to report there. Southbound Lindbergh at Eddy and Park. There's an accident and traffic is backed up north of Gravois. And southbound 94 at Youngerman. Look for an accident there as well. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. New Illinois Lottery's Veterans Cash. 100% of the proceeds support health services and disability programs for Illinois veterans. Play Illinois Veterans Cash today because when you play, everybody wins. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Partly cloudy, high in the lower 60s. Breezy this evening, partly cloudy with a low around 40 tonight. Or Tuesday, look forward to partly cloudy skies with a high around 70. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 40s. And on Wednesday, partly sunny, a chance for rain in the afternoon with a high in the 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 37 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 37 as well, both under clear skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hello. I'm Lucille Mitchell from the Bible Answer Crusade broadcast. Every Sunday morning at 9, the Seventh-day Adventist churches in the St. Louis area present a unique ministry that couples teaching and the Word of God to insights that will help you with everyday living. We deal with the areas concerning health, family, prophecy, and the gospel. And I think you will find every program is full of information you can use in your own life. Please listen to the Bible Answer Crusade broadcast every Sunday morning at 9, right here on Radio 920 WGNU.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. This is the station that discusses the issues that matter most to you. And if you have a problem with personal work or family relationships, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Tune in to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4. Then
Go do the right thing.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-376-9913.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers and compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-376-9913. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-376-9913. That's 800-376-9913.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Bryant.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I'm talking to Richard Hatcher. He is the co-chairman of the National Unity Convention and former mayor of Gary, Indiana. He's joining us from Gary, Indiana. And I'm also talking to William Lucy, International Secretary Treasurer of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. He's joining us from San Diego. And Mr. Lucy, you were in the middle of a thought on our way out of the break.
I was just saying, Liz, and data sort of reflects the fact that during the middle years of the Clinton administration, where the serious focus was made on job-creating activities and targeted job creation to relieve the major problems of joblessness, and we had 5 years of reduction in our level of unemployment and reduced our to the lowest levels that it had been in 40 years. So when we look at it, we've got to sort of move to the point where we begin the process of community cooperation in the context of job creation. We'll have Rodney Slater, that was the former Secretary of Transportation in the Clinton administration. We can talk about how we impact unemployment and generate economic activity through major capital projects. Alexis Herman, who served as Secretary of Labor in the second term, will talk about the policies and the programs that can impact this. And we want to figure out how to translate these to a local level. I mean, we've got tremendous minds in our community that can be brought to bear on the policies that are necessary. And then we've got to recognize that we've got to really stand up and challenge the notion that a low-wage or a low-income economic policy is going to benefit our communities. We will never deal with the problems we've got of crime and dislocation until we recognize that we need to have good-paying jobs as part of our community economic development.
Richard Hatcher, who's going to be here?
Well, we're really fortunate that we're going to have, first of all, this time around, people who have extensive experience in the economic arena. We didn't have that in 1972. And so we will have persons who come from some of the largest corporations in the country. One of our invited guests is Ken Chenault, who is the Chief Executive Officer of American Express. We do anticipate that there will be a number of people from the corporate world who will be there to share their knowledge, their experience, and their insight with us as we develop these strategies that Bill referred to. I also want to point out that there is a need in our community for a different mindset. Basically, it is not that we do not have resources. national income numbers in the billions of dollars every year. Our problem is that we essentially are consumers, and we tend to spend our money. We perhaps are the most effective spenders around. What we must learn is to keep and hold and to save and to invest our funds, and hopefully we will have people who can help us with that.
Well, who in corporate America is going to be able to instruct the community of African descent to keep their money, to invest? I mean, is investment in corporations and investment and pursuit of corporate attachments, is that something that the community of African descent should be doing?
Well, I think we ought to be saving and we ought to be investing, yes. Wealth is not something that occurs, for example, in a single generation. Wealth develops within a family. If we're talking about individual families, over generations, as people accumulate a certain amount of money and then pass it on to the next generation, and in that way we begin to accumulate wealth.
There are so many barriers to people of African descent that keep people of African descent through no reason of their own,
yes,
from accumulating wealth. Wealth is first defined by home ownership.
Well,
and it's the political component of that keeps people of African descent from acquiring home ownership to have that legacy to pass from generation to generation.
Well, Liz, you're absolutely correct in that regard. You can't separate the politics and the economics, as you said before. But I do think one of the reasons we're having the meeting is to determine a way to accomplish that. No one suggests that that's going to be easy. No one suggests that there aren't going to be incredible obstacles to overcome. Obviously, the largest of which is the continued existence of racism in this country. However, we must find a way. We cannot simply say it's going to be so difficult we can't do it. We must find a way, and that's what we hope to do at Gary March 9th through the 12th.
Liz, one of the interesting things that's developed, and Dick was alluding to it, in our conversations with the economic community, all of a sudden they recognize that they have a stake in these communities also. We're going to talk a bit about community-based partnerships and economic development. And here we're bringing in folks who have had direct experience in not only developing jobs but creating incomes where home ownership becomes an easier proposition. Emma Chappelle, who developed a community-based bank. We've got the American Bankers Association who are interested in what we're doing. We've got the Industrial Bank of Washington and a number of black banks who all of a sudden recognize that as the community goes down, so does their clientele. We've got Phil Thompson, a brother from Massachusetts Institute of Technology, who has been a catalyst in just creating thousands upon thousands of units of housing where average income people can participate. So as Dick said, we're bringing together some of the best minds to deal with our issues of education. Ridge Weaver, for the president of the National Education Association, and Nat LaCour, the secretary treasurer of the American Federation of Teachers, both who have a tremendous impact on the lives of our young people. We're bringing in a whole panel of young people who were not around during Gary 1, but who can give us their insights, many of whom are business people, entrepreneurs, and who have a whole different mindset about what can be done to generate economic activity within our community.
And in terms of the church community, what is the charge to the church community?
Well, you raise an incredibly interesting question, because the churches are doing a tremendous amount of work but not getting the recognition for what they've done. We're having Major Jameson, Dr. Major Jameson from the Progressive National Baptist Convention, Dr. Stephen Thurston's representatives from the National Baptist Convention USA, a brother Jonathan Weaver, who has put together some 250 small churches who call themselves now the Collective Banking Group, who use that leverage to foster community-based development projects. We got Sister Iva Carruthers, who is the General Secretary of the Samuel DeWitt Proctor Conference, you know, a conference of some 800 pastors of major churches who are doing development work all the time. What we want them to do is to partner with community-based organizations or trade union leadership to try and strengthen their ability to carry out major projects. Walter Fauntleroy, who was the issues co-chair in 1972 and a member of Congress, but who developed an incredible plan for community development along the lines you raised ago of housing. All of these people, we think, can shed some light on the kinds of relationships that we need to develop in order to strengthen our ability to carry out these programs.
And we're going to take a break. I am talking to William Lucy, International Secretary Treasurer of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. He's joining us from San Diego. And Richard Hatcher, co-chairman of the National Black Unity Convention and former mayor of Gary, Indiana, in Gary, Indiana. This is Liz Brown. We're talking about the National Black Unity Convention taking place in Gary from March 9th through March 12th. I'm Liz Brown again. We'll be back.
Break me down and strip me naked. They write a brand new rule and break it. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they fake it. But I'm gonna make it. Lord, I can take it. I'm the greatest man alive. Cut the drama, boy, save it for your mama. I'm the greatest man alive.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Rio de Janeiro. Brazil says it's going to be able to produce large amounts of enriched uranium within the next few months. This will make the South American nation the ninth country on the planet capable of doing so. Officials say the uranium is to be used for fuel by the country's two nuclear reactors, which are being used to produce electricity for Brazil. A third reactor is in the planning stage. Brazil is considered to be a good global citizen, which does not have to be looked at as a threat to gain nuclear weapons, even though its military had a secret program to do so back in the early 90s. Brazil has signed the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, and all of its facilities that use nuclear material are under the safeguards put forth by the International Atomic Energy Agency. And Dateline Baltimore. The EPA says it will go along with a request by the Defense Department and the DuPont Company to dump a byproduct of nerve gas into the Delaware River. DuPont is treating VX nerve gas at a facility in Indiana so it can be neutralized and then shipped to a facility in New Jersey where it's going to be discharged into the Delaware River. VX nerve gas is so deadly that an amount the size of a pinhead can kill a human being. The Centers for Disease Control have a copy of the disposal plan and has the health risks under consideration. Some 250,000 gallons of the VX are being neutralized, and a byproduct of the process called hydrosalite is what would be released into the river water. This is your wake-up call global news update.
They're loyal, friendly, protective, and great companions, but some pets can be a hazard to the environment. Gain a better understanding of exotic pets at the Columbia Bottom Conservation Area on Thursday, March 9th from 10 to 11:30 a.m. To register, call 314-877-6014. Something for you from Radio Free St. Louis. Before you go to the movies, go to Radio Free St. Louis. Find out what's worth seeing and what's not worth the bother. Join Dave Lenahan and Mark Glass for What's Good New at the Movies, a regular feature of Today's Solutions, Friday afternoons at 4:10 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Also online at www.blacktie-stlewis.com.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Oh,
back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African man, loving it. 4540400 is my phone number. 4546609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. I am talking this morning to the former mayor of Gary, Indiana. I'm talking to Richard Hatcher. He's also the co-chairman of the National Black Unity Convention. I'm also on the line with William Lucy, International Secretary Treasurer of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. He's joining us from San Diego, and I'd like to get to a caller or two. XX Peter, good morning.
Yeah, I want to ask you a guest. I hear of the national plans that they have, but what about international plans where black businesses can, and also the children can be exposed to potential business opportunity that lies overseas in the continent of Africa, Jamaica, Haiti? We seem like we always trail the larger business world. We always come in when the game is over and the stadium is empty.
Thanks for your call and question. Is Hugo Chavez going to be there? Are there going to be presidents from other countries on the continent of Africa? Who's going to be there internationally?
I really can't say at this point, Liz, and perhaps Dick may be able to comment. We've expended about 5,000 invitations to participate in this conference, some to representatives of countries, but none to specific heads of state.
Mm-hmm.
We certainly expect to have that people who will and can talk about the issues of trade that we mentioned earlier, and particularly on the African continent. We have many individuals participating from this hemisphere. We'll have folks from Brazil, perhaps from Venezuela, but I don't believe we'll have the head of state from Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
Because all of these economies are tied together.
Absolutely. And I think that Peter raises a very, very, very important and valid point. We, and Bill, you talked about it in the beginning of it. We have to understand what globalization is. Globalization doesn't mean just doing trading with people, but it also means establishing business relationships with other countries.
We will have a major contractors and black organizations dealing in the engineering and sciences who will be participating with us, banks, construction, a major domestic development corporation. I spoke just a day or so ago with a brother by the name of Herman Daniels from the Daniels Group out of Cincinnati, Ohio, who participated in major development projects all over the world. So, I mean, we'll have at least that flavor, but in direct response to the brother's question, I don't believe we will have heads of state.
Well, it's true that we may not have heads of state. I think the possibility of developing new kinds of relationships between the black community in the United States and the black community across the world will certainly be a topic of discussion. But it does seem to me we want to think about all of these things differently. For just to give you a couple of quick examples, one is the possibility, at least, of developing a black-owned, black-controlled stock exchange. What does a stock exchange do? It generates capital. And one of the things we lack in this country is capital. We also want to look at the multi-billion-dollar energy industry and look at a way to participate in that in a way that we have not before. For example, perhaps the development of the ownership of a refinery might be a beginning in that regard. So we want to be free to think about economic issues in ways in which we have not thought about them before.
And let me ask this question to both of you. A concern that I know many people have, and an issue that I've discussed many times on my show, is the disconnect that some folks have within the African community of, okay, I go make money, but I don't do anything to bring that money back to my community. And given the fact, I think, Bill, it was you that mentioned this, or I'm not sure if it was you or Dick that mentioned this, but we are a consumer group. We are, and particularly young people have grown up in an era where everything is about what you're buying, how much you're buying, and all of that. How do you, or what in the convention is going to speak to the peace that has to be there? Because you can make all the money in the world, and if you're not bringing it back to your community, it doesn't do us any good. What's going to be the connect within the convention that does that? That makes that connect.
Yes, I think first of all, your point is very well taken. That we tend to be spenders, consumers, and we do not make our dollars work for ourselves. There will be people there at this meeting who will discuss ways in which we can, of course, begin to develop a program to do that. It's not going to happen overnight, but again, it's changing the way we think about money, the way we think about economics in this country. And I believe that it's finding a way to, in effect, make our money, the monies that are generated in our community, work more effectively for black people in this country. And that won't be easy. No one's suggesting that this meeting and Gary is going to be the end of that process. It will really be the beginning of that process. And I also want to stress that the overarching theme of this meeting is that everyone is welcome. This meeting will be open to anyone who chooses to come and register and participate. So we want to encourage the people in the St. Louis area and the people across the country become a part of it. And Bill can give us the website if people want to register through the web, and we encourage anyone who is interested in this topic and concerned about where we are economically in this country, we want to encourage them to be in Gary on the 9th to the 12th.
And Bill, what's that website?
www.cbtu.org. And let me repeat that. That's www.cbtu.org. You can also pick this up on www.blackcommentator.com.
And is there a phone number for folks that don't have access to the net?
You can call area code 202 in Washington, D.C., 955-5000.
Very good. Let me get to one more quick question here. Bill, you have a question for our guests.
Yes, my question is that if the black people do come together on an agenda in dealing with the economics of black America and Africa, how would we be able to measure up even close to the influence that the Chinese have brought to Africa in the last 30 or 40 years? I'll hang up and listen.
Well, I guess what you'd call the global power of a nation like, the People's Republic of China, is the black community is not going to do that coming out of Gary. You've got geopolitical decisions that have really allowed China to use not only its strength in the context of its consumer market, but its reach to other nations. I think what we've got to do is, getting back to a part of Liz's question, we know people as a whole are consumers. We've got to get into the market of delivering consumer goods to people who want them.
But connecting that,
the young people bring to this discussion,
and connecting that with that consumerism with responsibility.
Absolutely, absolutely.
There has to be a reach back.
One of the things we'll have, and Dick alluded to it earlier, we'll have an economics panel. Dr. Bernard Anderson from the Wharton School of Business is going to be with us. Dr. Bill Spriggs from Howard University. Dr. Maya Rockamore from the Rockamore and Associates, all of these folks who deal with these things all the time, we've asked them and are bringing them to Gary to talk to us about a broader context of this struggle. Dr. Julianne Malveaux, who is internationally known. I think we've got the ingredients and the foundation for a serious movement across this country to challenge the current economic order.
And I want to thank you both, William Lucy, International Secretary Treasurer of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, and Richard Hatcher, co-chairman of the National Black Unity Convention, former mayor of Gary. Thank you so much, gentlemen.
Thank you, Liz.
Thank you, Liz.
Take care. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, The Wake Up Call. I'll be back after the news. Stay with me.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress is being made. You stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. 6 months after Hurricane Katrina, much of the city is still in ruins, but in New Orleans, when it is time for Mardi Gras, it is time for a party, and the big celebrations, the real big ones, get underway later on today. ABC's Jim Ryan has more from Bourbon Street.
Less than 6 months after Hurricane Katrina devastated the city, thousands of partiers are making their way to New Orleans to bask in the neon glow of Mardi Gras. Dennis Tyler of Orlando has been coming here for more than 20 years.
There's still the heart of it here. That's the whole thing. The regulars are here. You know, the people that didn't come are missing a really good Mardi Gras because this city needs it right now. This city needs Mardi Gras.
In the shadow of the debauchery of Bourbon Street, the Zulu Social and Pleasure Club hosts a family-friendly party today. Jim Ryan, ABC News, New Orleans.
President Bush is getting a little extra time to try and sell fellow Republicans on his plan to give an Arab-owned company control of 6 U.S. ports. The firm has agreed to a 45-day review. ABC's Jessica Yellen says it may not be enough, though.
The breathing room is limited. A bipartisan group of senators plans to introduce emergency legislation today that would give Congress, not the administration, final say on whether this deal goes through.
One of those most vocal opponents is New York Senator Chuck Schumer.
Give Congress, not just the president, the findings, and let Congress have an opportunity 30 days to disapprove the deal. That's what's needed because the president has already decided. He said he's for it, so he has the verdict already, and now he's having the trial.
Schumer's a Democrat, but there are a number of Republicans who are also against the deal. The curfew is over, and the fighting between Iraqi Sunnis and Shiites appears to be slowing down, and just in the nick of time, if you ask U.S. Ambassador to Iraq, Zalmay Khalilzad.
I think the Iraqis came to the brink, and they're pulling back from that.
The militants, meanwhile, who are holding American journalist Jill Carroll, had threatened to kill her over the weekend, but Khalilzad believes she's still alive. This is ABC News.
Hi, friends. Your CitraCal gal, Heloise, here with a story about one amazing woman. Brenda travels to Honduras and Uganda to teach women to create and sell art to support their families. That takes strong character and strong bones. So Brenda takes CitraCal calcium. It's proven to help prevent osteoporosis. CitraCal is a great hint for women everywhere who want to help prevent bone loss. Be sure to visit StandStrong.com. CitraCal calcium, stand strong.
After the baby, I started working out and got a pain reliever for my knees. Went back to work, got something else for tension headaches. Baby got big, I got one more for my back. Every new pain, a different pain reliever. But not anymore. Today, I'm all Advil. It's my every pain reliever. Advil works wherever I hurt, so I'm ready for anything. I'm all Advil. Are you all Advil?
Use as directed.
It seems like they just started. Well, maybe it doesn't, but the 2006 Winter Olympic Games are now history. ABC's Aaron Katursky has details from Torino.
Fireworks from the closing ceremony of the 20th Winter Olympic Games. The torch that has burned brightly here for the past 2 weeks was extinguished by Isolde Kostner, an Italian skier who could not take part in the games because she announced she was pregnant. She came out in a bridal gown, accompanied by 398 other women in bridal gowns to extinguish the flame. Vancouver hosts the Winter Games in 2010. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, Torino.
And if you're already counting, there are just 1,447 games days until the next game. Expect a big announcement this week from Apple. Tomorrow, the computer giant isn't saying much except that it will have something to do with what else? The iPod. I'm Daria Alvinger, ABC News.
WGNU News Update. This report is brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News. Officials with Missouri's Office of Administration say they've discovered truckloads of waste while working to merge office space. As they move out of a Midtown St. Louis office building and another office in Jefferson City, state workers have discovered an estimated 40-year supply of envelopes, 26 ladders, 100 quarts of two-cycle motor oil, and three brand-new weed eaters. Governor Matt Blunt says the waste was discovered as part of his administration's reorganization efforts, and wasteful spending will not be tolerated by his administration. Missouri Senator Kit Bond is announcing the expansion of the Parents as Teachers program to more military families. Bond visited the Parents as Teachers headquarters Friday to announce $1 million in federal money that will fund the expansion of the Heroes at Home program at 9 military installations. Funds will also go toward continuing the 4 programs in operation at bases in Missouri, Kansas, and Texas. In Chesterfield, Chesterfield Mall is growing. The mall's newest restaurant, the Cheesecake Factory, will open for business today. The new restaurant is part of a $71 million redevelopment at Chesterfield Mall that also includes a new movie theater, more restaurants and stores, and a new food court. An opening celebration for the new section is scheduled for March 31st. And finally, Cardinal fans wanting season tickets will have to wait until next year. The Cardinals report their 2006 season ticket packages are sold out. There is still a limited supply of single seats for 4-game packages in the first season at the new Busch Stadium. Single-game tickets go on sale 9 o'clock this coming Saturday morning. And that's WGNU News for this hour, brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. New, the Illinois Lottery's Veterans Cash. 100% of the proceeds support health care services and disability programs for Illinois veterans. Play Veterans Cash today, because when you play, everybody wins. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour, 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by State Farm Insurance. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the gravel pit all the way to Cleese Landing. Look for heavy volume going on due to a disabled vehicle midway across the bridge. Northbound 55 between Butler Hill and 270, that congestion has been cleared. Eastbound 70 from Earth City Expressway through St. Charles Rock Road, look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 at Gravelway and 44 is slow. Westbound 270 at Illinois Route 3 to Canal Bridge is slow. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road to 79, look for sluggish traffic going on there. Eastbound 40 from Ballast to Lindbergh, look for slow traffic as well. Eastbound 44 from Merrimack River Bridge to 270, slow traffic in the right lane approaching those off-ramps onto 270. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road, that traffic is easing. Westbound 40 from Hampton to Big Bend, look for slow traffic. Westbound 5570 from 4th Street onto the PSB, look for slow traffic. Westbound 64 at Powell Avenue and the 5570 merge, look for no problems to report there. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge, those ramps are slow. Southbound Lindbergh at Eddy and Park, that accident's been cleared, but there may be some delays. Southbound 94 at Youngerman, look for that accident to have been cleared as well. Ladue at North Mosley, there's an accident reported. And Grafton Ferry at Portage, look for an overturned vehicle. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by State Farm Insurance. Switch to State Farm, and your great driving record could help you get great discounts. Talk to Agent Leroy Berry, Jr. in Clayton, Missouri today, and get your reward here and now. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Breezy, partly cloudy, high in the lower 60s this evening. Partly cloudy with a low around 40. Tuesday, partly cloudy with a high near 70. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 40s. Then on Wednesday, partly sunny, a chance for showers in the afternoon, the high in the 70s. Currently, at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, We have clear skies and 38 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 38 as well under clear skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how to understand. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how to understand. Please do not beg, hope for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very bad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equality.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU, 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, no problem. revolution@lizbrown.com. That's LIZZBrown.com. And also, we're streamed at WGNU.net. That means you can get to us at any time, morning, noon, or night. And my show, this show, The Wake Up Call, is archived at whiterosesociety.org. So if you missed an hour, go get your hour. We have so much stuff to talk about. All last week, and I predict, Liz Brown predicts right here, right now, that next week we're going to be talking about this Dubai issue as well. And it's all couched in the framework of safety, and within that safety discussion, there's also a discussion of how are we tending to our business here at home. Many of you, I'm sure, have seen news stories that you've never seen before, following containers on docks. Many of you, I know that were very, very surprised to find out how it works and how most of the containers that come into this country aren't even inspected. There are a lot of things that go on in our country that people don't know about and should know about and should be concerned about. And one of the issues that people probably know very little about. Mississippi River Locks Project. We need to talk about that. We need to talk about budget cuts for the Mississippi River Locks Project and what that means in terms of safety in our economy. And to have that conversation, to facilitate that conversation, I have joining us from Washington, D.C., Jeff Rook, the Executive Director of Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Just fine.
We're talking about safety of containers and ports. There's other bodies of water that we need to be concerned about as well, aren't there?
There are. The Mississippi River is a vital economic mode of transportation.
Talk to us about the concerns that your organization has about the Mississippi River Locks Project and this Bush administration cutting funding for that.
Actually, this is one of the few times where we're applauding the Bush administration mm-hmm. for making the cuts, because this project is an unnecessary boondoggle.
How did that happen?
Well, I think it's serendipity. If even a broken clock has to be right once or twice a day.
Okay. I'll accept that.
We represented an Army Corps economist who's from St. Louis, Don Sweeney. And when this project was first discussed in the 90s, he was put in charge of the economics. The Corps has been very controversial about kind of, shall we say, fudging their studies. And this was a very big project, second biggest engineering project in the country, second only to the Everglades restoration. And the reason it's so big is they're talking about possibly replacing and expanding virtually every lock on the Mississippi from St. Louis up and the Illinois waterway. So it was a very complex, very expensive project, and this economist took a look at it. He involved all these outside people, and they finally ran the numbers and concluded that this project wasn't going to make sense for at least a generation. He was then told to change the numbers, and when he refused, he was removed from the project. But fortunately, a number of people kept him in the loop, and so when he decided to go public and blow the whistle on the Corps cooking the books, he had a lay-down hand of emails from the generals telling people to, in essence, falsify numbers. That took place in 2000. Two generals and a full colonel were forced to retire. The Corps backed off, but then came back really within the next year with the same project but only bigger. And ever since then, now it's 2006, we've been involved in the same debate. One of the problems is that the Upper Mississippi has been seeing less traffic every year for the last 16 years and doesn't even employ some basic devices if congestion was a concern, such as scheduling barges. They schedule trains, planes, automobiles, and buses, but barges that travel 5 miles an hour aren't scheduled. And so
how could that be?
It's because two or three barges show up at the same time.
How could that be that they're not scheduled?
The barge companies, but more importantly, the Army Corps of Engineers, first fiercely resisted as if it's some sort of modern voodoo practice or something. And so they've been pushing for this now multi-billion-dollar investment. And these locks, while they are old, a lot of money is spent on maintaining them. Each year, the federal government's spending about three-quarters of $1 billion to keep these locks kind of up to snuff. More money is spent keeping these locks in good working order than is spent on all of the schools in the state of Missouri, several times over.
Mm.
And so the notion that this, we call it the Chicken Little argument, that the locks are falling, is bogus. One of the things that's going on is that because of new products like ethanol, a lot of the grain that used to go down the river and out to continents like Asia now is staying at home to be used for other things such as alternative fuels. And so the use of the river for that one sort of thing is actually on the decrease.
So how did we come to the before I get there, who benefits if this project goes through? I mean, Army Corps of Engineers, they're not, are they making money off that? Why would they want this to go through?
They do make money. That's how their budget grows. Mm. This is part of their plan to grow the Corps. And one of the things that was found in the investigation of Dr. Sweeney's whistleblowing reports is that the Army Corps of Engineers has this kind of built-in conflict of interest, and that is they're supposed to determine whether projects make economic sense, but their budget depends upon these projects getting approved. And so a lot of the Corps employees, their salaries come from reaching the point where projects are green-lighted.
So I know that Kit Bond was involved in this. Talk to us about that.
Kit Bond has been the unrivaled lead cheerleader for this project since the beginning, and he views it as vital for the economic health of the region. But there's not, from what we can tell, a shred of evidence to back up those claims.
Well, what does he get out of it?
Well, there are some companies, construction companies and others that are good friends of the senator that will be even presumably better friends of the senator once this project is okayed.
And so Kit Bond is out there by himself virtually a cheerleader on this.
No, actually one of the dynamics that's going on is that since Dr. Sweeney has blown the whistle, the Corps' biannual bill to authorize new projects has been held up because there's this growing debate about whether or not the Corps is a corrupt and broken agency. And so the pressure for new projects has been growing since 2000. Well, it's now 2006, and a bill that contains the water projects in all the Congress people's districts has been basically held up for 6 years. Senator Bond has inserted the Upper Mississippi project in that bill. Everybody supports the bill because it's got projects for their own districts.
So that's the way he's going to try to sneak this in.
Sneak isn't the right word, but that's certainly the he's putting it on a freight train that is long overdue and is building up steam.
So if it gets in there, what happens?
Well, we don't know. The Bush administration, for a whole variety of reasons, has never really been a fan of the Corps of Engineers and has been recommending budget cuts for the Corps and has never recommended this project. We don't know whether they're actually going to reach the point where they threaten a veto. And this is from a president who claims to be fiscally responsible. So this is going to be a great big project that's not in his budget. So whether or not he looks the other way, that's another thing. And then in addition, the underlying debate about whether or not the Corps is a broken agency, which is a debate that certainly got much more serious after the levee breaks following Katrina. So the idea that this agency should be given more authority and discretion is one that a lot of people are looking at as increasingly is nuts, because the track record here is unbelievably bad.
Well, and walk us through some of the track record of the Corps of Engineers, because I think that for a lot of people, when they hear that, they think of that it's responsible, but that's not their history.
We often call the Corps of Engineers the fourth branch of government, because while they're part of the executive, they really operate independently. They're sort of a creature of Congress. And they're the main pork pipeline for Congress in terms of flood control districts, navigation projects. The Corps is also involved in cleanup work. At one point, they even had a contract to do the rehabilitation of schools here in the District of Columbia. The Corps is this entrepreneurial entity that actually builds itself as the nation's engineer. And so they're in the middle of everything from Iraq to Malibu.
You called it the pork pipeline?
Yes, because that's where the big federal construction projects that are not highways are concentrated.
So give us some examples of some of the more memorable pieces of pork that have flowed through this pipeline.
The Corps has built, has channelized many rivers that have almost no traffic on them at all. One river just happened to be run right behind the house of the congressman who chaired their appropriations subcommittee. They built dams and other structures that are no longer needed, and right now they're in the midst of this huge Everglades restoration project that's about to be exposed as a complete fraud. So we're now several billion dollars into that. And then looking south to New Orleans, what happened there, it became clear that was a combination of human errors that were largely within the control of the Corps. And this was an event that was foreseen for quite a long time. It just wasn't planned for.
Well, I guess it's with regard to New Orleans, it's hard to imagine that, given all of the pork that does flow through this pipeline, that money didn't get to New Orleans to fix the actual dam or levees that needed to be fixed.
That's because there's no system to rate projects on the basis of their national importance. As a matter of fact, Congress asked the Corps to come up with a list because the Corps has managed to get Congress to basically approve, until very recently, everything is asked for. And so it's got about 500 projects that have been approved. They haven't even gotten around to building. It's something like a $500 billion backlog. It's a very large backlog of projects, a lot of which are sort of fiction. But in any event, the Congress asked the Corps to prioritize. The Corps responded, and this just happened this fall, that they were unable to establish priorities and recommended that the job of setting priorities be contracted out to the National Academy of Public Administration. And, I mean, one of the things, I mean, this is cynical, but one of the things that's happened as a result of the levee failures in Katrina is that the federal government is now once again dumping money on the Army Corps of Engineers. And mm-hmm. one of the things that just happened last week was the Corps has announced an open-ended contract, kind of a Halliburton-style contract with a company that's represented by the former chief of engineers, Bob Flowers.
So the chief of engineers people, for the Corps of Engineers?
He's now doing this for the Corps of Engineers, and he's quite delighted.
I imagine so. Christmas came early.
It did. And so I'm reading a statement in which the former General Flowers talks about what an honor it is to be given this contract.
So the discussion about the legitimacy of the Corps of Engineers, the discussion about the future of the Corps of Engineers, how is that taking place in any real fashion? And how serious of a conversation, if it is, how serious of a conversation is it?
It's been a very serious conversation, serious enough to basically close down the pork pipeline for 6 years. So no new project has been approved, which is why there's such kind of a growing tension to get something, some sort of bill out that authorizes new projects.
Is the prioritization of the projects tied to whether or not the projects will be released?
Boy, prioritization and the United States Congress are two concepts that don't often occupy the same sphere. We often say it's clear that Congress is not a fact-based institution. And so as far as they're concerned, they would just like to approve everything that's put in front of them. And it's kind of an institutional dynamic. And the executive branch, for whatever reason, has not really been able to kind of corral the Corps. President Carter tried it. This president has tried it. So far, nobody's really reined them in.
But like you said, if it's the pork pipeline, then there's going to be a lot of resistance to it being shut down.
There is, and that's why at the moment what we have is kind of a gridlock. Unless there's some sort of resolution, the pressure to pass something is just going to build.
And in terms of the future of the levees in Katrina, is there any hope that anything is going to be done that's successful and effective?
A lot of money is going to be spent, but there doesn't appear to be any consensus as to what they're going to build or what the model is. There's been an absence of any kind of real national dialogue as to what the future of the city is and the level of flood control that's going to be provided. I don't think those decisions have been made. In the meantime, open-ended contracts are going to be let and a lot of money is going to be spent, but it's still not clear at the end of the day what it's going to look like down there.
Explain what an open-ended contract is.
It means that it's a blank check.
It's as simple as that.
It's as simple as that.
What impact has the creation of Homeland Security had on the Corps of Engineers?
It's just another customer for the Army Corps of Engineers. Mm-hmm. The Corps views itself as the nation's engineer, and so the more agencies that are involved in its work are the more potential clients and the more money. The Corps, to some extent, is kind of at a crossroads because it's been removed from its traditional business of building dams and canals. The nation's waterways are built. Many argue that they're overbuilt. The Mississippi, for example, is really no longer a river so much as it is in a series of interconnecting ponds because mm-hmm. it's been so built, and that they want to pour a couple $1 billion more concrete into it, even though that the barge traffic is declining. And so they're looking for new things to do.
And so the war has been helpful in that respect.
The war has been very helpful in that respect, and also one of the things they've discovered, I think, to everyone's horror, is they're now involved in the business of environmental restoration in cases like Florida, where they're redoing, they're basically trying to correct the problems their past engineering caused. So in the case of Florida, they basically built diversions of water to irrigate and supply water to South Florida for a real estate boom that's never ended down there. And the Everglades has been starved of fresh water. The realization that the Everglades was dying resulted in a state-federal commitment of, I think it's $12 billion to restore the Everglades. As to what that's going to look like at the end of the day, there's a very interesting book that's coming out that makes the case that Everglades will be actually worse off. You look at Louisiana. Louisiana's coastline is falling into the Gulf of Mexico in large part because the natural flow of the Mississippi and the silt that would otherwise build up and keep basically a balance with the Gulf has been cut off by engineering efforts. Now the Corps is entertaining an even larger project to, quote-unquote, restore the Louisiana coastline. And then Katrina and Rita came along, and now there's a question of what work is going to be done to
fix what they broke.
Right.
Jeff Rook, where can people find out more information about this? What's your website?
Peer.org. And they go to the Corps, the Army Corps part of it. They'll see the whole history of the Upper Mississippi Project laid out in some detail.
Jeff Rook, Executive Director of Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility.
Which mercifully has an acronym, PEER.
Thank you so much,
Jeff. All right.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I'll be back in the next half, after the next break to take your calls, questions, and comments. My number here is 454-0400-1877-920-WGNU. Get to me.
Grandma's hand picked me up each time I fell home. Grandma's hands, boy, they really came in a handy, she'd say. Matty, don't you whip that boy.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and the weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Granite Works. Eastbound 70 at Adelaide, the overturned fuel tank for truck, the exit ramp and the on-ramp are from Adelaide are closed. Adelaide is also closed. Hazmat crews are on the scene at this hour. Westbound 70 at Adelaide exit is closed due to an overturned tanker on Adelaide. Northbound 55 at Butler Hill and 270, look for that congestion to be cleared. Eastbound 70 at 270 and St. Charles Rock Road, no problems there to report. Northbound 270 is slow on either side of 44. Westbound 270 at Illinois 3, all the way onto the Canal Bridge, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 70 at K and 79. That traffic is finally easing up this hour. Eastbound 44 from Merrimack River Bridge to 270. Still slow traffic in the right lane as you approach the off and on ramps to 270. Eastbound 40 between Ballast and Lindbergh, expect slow traffic. Westbound 40 between Hampton and Big Bend, look for slow traffic as well. Westbound 5570 from 4th Street onto the PSB is returned back to normal. Westbound 64 from Bio Avenue to the 5570 split looks good. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from Gravel Pit to Laclede's Landing, congestion has been cleared. And northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the PSB is returned back to normal. Grafton Ferry at Portage, look for that accident to have been cleared at this hour. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Granite Works. Granite Works just got a new shipment of beautiful exotic new colors like Savari Brown. Granite as low as $38 a square foot. Visit today or call 862-6300. That's 862-6300. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Partly cloudy, breezy, high in the lower 60s this evening. Partly cloudy with a low around 40. Moving on to Tuesday evening, or Tuesday, look for partly cloudy, high around 70. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy with a low around the upper 40s. Then on Wednesday, partly sunny skies, a chance of showers in the afternoon with a high in the lower 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 38 degrees under clear skies. Lambert Field is also holding steady with 38 degrees as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, your traffic, and your weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Science or religion? Republican or Democrat? Politics, education, crime? Or you just want to talk about Girl Scout cookies? What's your opinion? What's your solution? Tell me, Dave Linehan, on Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU, Monday through Friday, 4 to 6.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@wgnu.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
Lefty loosey, righty tighty.
Okay, here's the thing about yellow snow. Now I know my ABCs. Next time, won't you sing with me?
Learn how to drive, you moron!
Remember, you're always teaching. Teach carefully. React with rage, and kids will learn it's okay to do the same. Keep your cool, and kids will do likewise. For advice, visit actagainstviolence.org. Brought to you by MetLife Foundation, National Association for the Education of Young Children, and the Ad Council.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I've got a hard road to travel and a rough, rough way to go. And it's a hard road to travel and a rough, rough way to go. But I can't turn back. My heart is fixed, my mind's made up. I'll never stop, and my faith will see me through. Let me tell you.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get to me. Don't forget, you can reach me at revolution@lizbrown.com. Now, I'm going to indulge myself this morning. I'm going to indulge myself, and I just need to give you all a heads up on this. I'm going to be indulging myself from here on out. Since I was blessed to find out on Friday that my father's side of my family, their African roots trace back to Nigeria, to the Yoruba, Igbo people. Y'all gonna be hearing a lot about what's going on in Nigeria. Y'all gonna be hearing a lot about what's going on in Nigeria. And let me share this with you. A Nigerian court ruled yesterday that Royal Dutch Shell pay $1.5 billion for polluting the Niger Delta. A federal court in Port Harcourt, that's the heart of the country's oil industry, ruled that Shell must compensate for degrading their creeks and spoiling their crops and spoiling their fishing. This is a major, major, major victory for people, for the Ijaw people, who have campaigned for compensation for more than a decade. And understand, militants are also, and I'm not even going to call them militants, because these are our people. These are resistance fighters. They have kidnapped, holding hostage Americans, three Americans, two Egyptians, two Thais, one Briton, one Filipino. And they have demanding that the people in the country south of the South Nigeria receive a greater share of their region's oil wealth. Only seems right, doesn't it? It only seems right. And I recall prior to finding out that I am of Nigerian ancestry, I recall that my that I've read that my people lived over the average life expectancy in the region prior to the oil wells and the extraordinary mind-blowing pollution that is going on there. I mean, they don't even cap some of this stuff. They just let stuff burn. But the life expectancy was in the hundreds of years. I mean, not 100 or 200 years, but over 100 years. Over 100 years. Not people were living over 100 years. Now the life expectancy is less than 40. Because of everything that oil has wrought. All of the evil on the environment that oil has wrought. It's awful. It's absolutely awful what is being done. And is it wrong for a people to say we want our share first of the oil before you get to take any of it? 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Adrian, good morning. Good morning. You're on the air. Good morning.
Yes, I was just calling. You are so correct. The life expectancy in Nigeria was 125 to 130 years old.
Mm.
And they barely make it to 35 to 40 now.
It's heartbreaking.
It is, and it's due to the oil.
Yes.
Them refining the oil and stuff like that and not being cautious about it. And, you know, it's just a crying
shame. And acting like, and I see this sometimes in North St. Louis, and I know that it happens in North St. Louis. Sometimes you'll see people coming and dumping stuff in North St. Louis with the understanding that we can dump trash in North St. Louis because it's nothing but black folks that live there, and nobody will care that we dump in this part of town.
And you know what? You are so true. And I have called on people that I know do the dumping. And the first thing they want to say is, what's your name? Do you want us to give your name out?
Mm.
And I'm saying, is my name important?
Mm. Mm. And the thing
I'm calling about a crime that's being committed
that's
in our
right.
neighborhood.
That's right.
And you, because everybody assumes that we're doing the dumping when we have free trash pickup.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So why would we do the dumping
Absolutely.
If we have free trash pickup?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's that same mentality that Shell has when they go into Africa. We can trash the joint because we don't live here. Our children don't live here. We don't care. All we want is the gold, the black gold that's in the ground. We want that, and we don't care what happens to this country.
And that is so true because they are people of color.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you so much and have a God bless day.
You too. 454-0400 is my phone number. 1-877-920-WGNU. People have been kidnapped. The people that have been kidnapped are saying that they are doing fine. They just want it to be resolved. The exact quote is, we are being treated well. Let's just hope it ends well. Communities have been saying for decades that Shell is letting its oil spill into the rivers of the Niger Delta, degrading the environment, spoiling crops, poisoning fish, and Shell, of course, looking for the face to blame it on, says it's saboteurs that are stealing oil, and they're the ones that are causing the oil spill. The community also is saying that if Shell appeals this $1.5 billion fine that they have been awarded, or that the people of Nigeria have been awarded as a result of the polluting and environmental recklessness of Shell, if they appeal this, there will continue to be unrest. the Shell and how a Shell responded. Shell has responded by saying it would not comment in detail until it received the text of the judgment. However, we believe that we have strong grounds to appeal as an independent expert advice demonstrates there is no evidence to support the claims. The chief, Mala Sasamin, the ruler of the Ija Ipi kingdom in Bailija, said our people have gone through due process to get the judgment. They must pay the money or be ready to leave the land. Now, that's easy enough. Your rent checks due. Your rent checks due. And understand that resistance groups in the Niger Delta have been fighting the government and the oil industry for 15 years. In fact, in 1995, writer and campaigner Ken Saro Waya was executed after leading a peaceful uprising of the Ogoni people in opposition to Shell. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get to me. We're not done here. We have much, much, much to talk about. We're taking a break.
Shall get them that's not shall lose. So the Bible said, and it still is news. Mama may have, Papa may have. But God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Manila. Philippine President Gloria Arroyo is being criticized for heavy-handed tactics she's using in the wake of declaring a state of emergency over an attempted coup. Former President Fidel Ramos, who was an ally of hers, says she has used the emergency declaration to give the term democracy a big black eye. He said there was no reason for her overreaction because no actual coup attempt had ever materialized. What happened was several military leaders said they had stopped a plan by troops who were unhappy with her leadership to take part in protests to try and force her to quit. A number of people have been critical of the president, and they have now been arrested. And a newspaper that took an opposition stand against her administration was also raided as part of the declaration of martial law. And Dateline Moscow. The Russian Navy says a new nuclear attack submarine is on the drawing board now. Research had been stymied for a number of years because after the Soviet Union fell, there was little money available for research and development. But now the United States has built a new class of attack submarines called a Virginia class, and the Russians say they can't afford to fall any farther behind. The new Russian class will be slightly smaller than the new Virginia class, but they expect theirs to be more automated and quieter. Defense analysts say their new submarines may not be as sophisticated as the American ones, but improved Russian technology could wind up helping China develop better submarines as an end result. China is far behind in building reliable and effective submarines. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
You're tuning in to Rasta Resolutions, the number one reggae program in America. King Silos, Rasta Resolutions comes your way every Saturday night from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Also on the net, that's www.wgnu.net, Rasta Resolutions.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@wgnu.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
Are you hungry? You need to go to Sweetie Pies, 4270 Manchester, 9481 West Florissant. Fried chicken wing, beef liver, baked chicken, pork chops, everything good that you want to eat. Sweetie Pies, 4270 Manchester, brand new location. Check them out. Makes you want to kiss your mama.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, this is Leora Daniels, and I invite you to join me every Saturday morning from 8:30 to 9 for good gospel music and church news on the Highway to Heaven broadcast. Start your Saturday off right with me, Leora Daniels, and the Highway to Heaven broadcast, Saturday mornings at 8:30 right here on WGNU.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Liz.
Yes, good morning.
Riverman.
Yes, Riverman.
Okay, you all were talking about something that I had some interest in.
Did you like the story about the Army Corps of Engineers?
Yes.
Or the Corps of Engineers?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, he was talking about on the upper Mississippi, right? The thing that he didn't tell you all was that majority of those locks are only 600 feet. So that means you have to break the toe up in order to pass. So they want to build the big locks like they have in Alton, like Mel Price.
Mm-hmm.
You need those bigger locks because then you don't have to break the toe up and you can drive right through it.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it easier. And then they put in what they call these floating pins on the lock walls. But a lot of times, and those locks are old, so they get hit by the barges, and they do need replacing.
Mm-hmm.
And also, when I used to always travel up the Illinois River, we would leave St. Louis, and we'd take a tow up on the Illinois, and it would always got a lot of locks, but they're small. They only 600 footers there, so they all need to be replaced. Going as far north is Star of Rock. That's a state park.
Okay, and you're really breaking up bad on us. I'm going to have to let you go. Thank you so much. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. Election time is getting fixing to roll around here in the city of St. Louis and in the region, all across the country. Actually, April is going to be election for a lot of cities. I think that you probably are wondering, as we get closer to this election cycle and the election changes that they're trying to make up in Jefferson City. Black Box, there's a website called Black Box Voting. Black Box Voting is a thing that has successfully sued the Palm Beach County. That's the Florida Supervisor of Elections. And individually, we're talking about Teresa Lepore. And they sued them to get the audit results. And what they got after investing $7,000 and waiting 9 months for the records, Black Box Voting discovered that the voting machine logs contained, are you ready for this? 100,000 errors. According to the voter machine assignment logs, Palm Beach County used 4,313 machines in the 2004 election. During election day, 1,400 voting system calibrations were performed while the polls were open, providing documentation to substantiate reports from citizens indicating that the wrong candidate was selected when they tried to vote. Ooh, we have much to talk about. Ben, good morning.
Hello, yeah, this is Ben Carey.
Yes, Ben.
Yeah, thank you so very much, Liz Brown. I am from Ogoni, Nigeria.
Oh.
And I've been listening to.
Could you turn your radio? Could you turn your radio down in the background, Ben, please?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. All right. And I want to briefly comment on the decision written by a federal court in Nigeria in Port Harcourt on Shell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very milestone decision indeed. But I think presently what has happened is that Shell has actually appealed that decision.
They have appealed already?
Yeah, they have already appealed that decision. I mean, that is very much unexpected. I have been writing to different listeners, and before this time I predicted that they were going to appeal because...
Wait a minute a second. Then the article that I'm looking at right now is from Friday, or from Saturday.
Okay.
And they said that Shell, because the decision was just handed out on Friday.
Okay.
And Shell said on Friday that they would not comment until it received the text of the judgment. However, we believe that we have strong grounds to appeal.
Well, I also have a newspaper from Nigeria, from the internet yesterday, that Shell has already appealed, and the reason they are appealing the decision is that they claim that the Ijaw ethnic group has no evidence to substantiate their claim, and so they are appealing the decision.
And what I'm also understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, Ben, I'm understanding that there is a view in Nigeria that if they appeal this, then they're going to have to either they accept this verdict or they leave the country.
That's you know, sometimes it's always very easy saying than doing it. A situation where the Nigerian Senate invited Shell. And they try to query them on why the House of Representatives ordered them to pay this very money, because this money started from the House of Representatives in Nigeria. They ordered them to pay this money for environmental damages, and Shell refused to pay. Shell claimed that a court of the land did not give the decision. Right now, a court has already given the decision, and they are going about appealing it. And like I said in my letters to my friends, if it was here in the U.S. or maybe other countries in Europe, they are not going to appeal it. They are used to dealing us this type of blow in Nigeria, in Africa, and maybe other third world countries, because like you were saying, they don't care. They don't care about us.
So what is going to happen, Ben? What do you expect folks to do, because we do have this the kidnapping that was taken that was engaged in by the resistance mover workers or participants there.
Yeah,
it's connected to this. Is this connected to that?
It's part of it, because one of the demands of the group is that the government pay $1.5 billion dollars to the Ijaw ethnic group. And one of the things that the group is requesting is that, or demanding, is that they give the region what we call resource control.
Mm.
Because the Ijaw ethnic group and the Ogoni people in Niger Delta, they own the so-called Nigerian oil.
Mm.
There's nothing called Nigerian oil, you know?
Mm.
And we've been in this struggle for over 40 years now since Shell came to Nigeria. And the most appalling thing is that if you go to a place they call Olubri in Bayelsa State, you will be so surprised to see that the first village where oil was struck in Nigeria has nothing to show for that enormous well that has been carried away from that area. Mm-hmm. And you spoke about Clarence Arewa, my mentor. He was murdered by hanging alongside 8 others just because he stood up and said, hey, Ogoni people, let's stand up against these tyrants. Let's stand up against these exploiters and so on and so forth.
And he's dead.
He's dead. He's murdered by hanging 10 years ago. Nobody is doing anything to help the situation. All they want to do is to take away. And one other thing is that the U.S. government is also playing a very critical role in this situation. Presently, the U.S. government sent what they call the anti-terror squad. They sent them to Nigeria to possibly track down these people.
The opposition to the to Shell Oil.
Yeah.
And kill them.
Yeah, they have sent them to the Niger Delta, 6 of them. And last year, November or December or so, the U.S. also signed a security pact with Nigeria. And that pact is mainly to allow the U.S. Marines go to the Niger Delta area and protect the oil installations. And what I'm asking is, why should oil be so important in life?
There you go. Ben, I've got to let that be the last word. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And to end it, I have sent you a letter yesterday by email trying to introduce my new book to you.
I've got your email. I haven't read it yet, but I got it.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Liz Brown. This is The Wake-Up Call. We'll be back with Mondays at 9. Stay with us.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. President Bush is getting a little more time to sell a controversial plan for 6 major U.S. ports. The Arab-owned company that is set to take control of them has agreed to a stricter review. But ABC's Ann Compton says it may not be enough.
Top Republican senators worked all weekend on a compromise, and Dubai Ports World has now agreed to ask for a whole new review of its business deal to run 6 eastern ports. But New York Democrat Charles Schumer wants one more safeguard.
Give Congress, not just the president, the findings, and let Congress have an opportunity 30 days to disapprove the deal.
Schumer introduces that legislation today. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
The Iraqi militants holding Jill Carroll had threatened to kill the American journalist over the weekend unless all female Iraqi prison inmates were released. But some Iraqi officials think she may still be alive. Here's ABC's David Curley.
In an interview with ABC News, Iraq's controversial interior minister, the man in charge of police forces, says he believes that American journalist Jill Carroll will be released alive at some point in time. He says they know who her kidnappers are.
3 U.S. soldiers were killed in Iraq, 2 by roadside bombs, 1 by small arms fire. The Senate takes up renewal of the Patriot Act. Today it's been delayed twice while lawmakers work on ways to balance civil liberty issues. Just before the Senate went on break, it rejected an effort to block renewal of the act. Well, the crowds are smaller this year, but it is still a party in New Orleans. ABC's Robin Roberts is at Mardi Gras.
When you're here in the French Quarter, it's easy to think that everything is back to normal. But the truth is, half the city's population has yet to return. 50% of businesses are still closed, and even half of the city's street lights, or I should say traffic lights, remain dark. And many of the officials here say that the recovery effort is going to take longer than anyone expected.
Checking the money scope at abcnews.com, the Dow is up 44 points, the NASDAQ is ahead by 12. This is ABC News.
Hi, friends, your CitraCal gal Heloise here with a story about one amazing woman. Brenda travels to Honduras and Uganda to teach women to create and sell art to support their families. That takes strong character and strong bones. So Brenda takes CitraCal calcium. It's proven to help prevent osteoporosis. CitraCal is a great hint for women everywhere who want to help prevent bone loss. Be sure to visit StandStrong.com. CitraCal calcium, stand strong.
After the baby, I started working out and got a pain reliever for my knees. Went back to work, got something else for tension headaches. Baby got big, I got one more for my back. Every new pain, a different pain reliever. But not anymore. Today, I'm all Advil. It's my every pain reliever. Advil works wherever I hurt, so I'm ready for anything. I'm all Advil. Are you all Advil?
Use as directed.
After a balmy start to the year, winter has definitely returned to the Northeast. The mercury hovering in the 20s this morning in Philadelphia, and that's before you factored in the wind chill. But this tourist from Britain is braving the elements to see the city of brotherly love.
Much colder wind chill factors, much colder, yeah, definitely.
The problem across the west is rain and wind, which could cause flooding or mudslides across parts of California. America's favorite mobsters are about to call it quits. Maybe. Here's ABC's Daniela Bellotta.
The Sopranos, the popular HBO mob drama, will definitely be taken out next year. Will it end with Tony Soprano being whacked? Forget about it. The show's creator says the series may move to the big screen at some point. David Chase telling the New York Times 3-4 years down the road, he could be sitting around and get an idea for a really great Sopranos movie. The newest season begins March 12th. It will be followed by the final 8 episodes next January. Daniela Bellotta, ABC News.
And I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Here's a report of WGNU News. This update is brought to you by Granite Works. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. In the news this morning, the president of St. John Vianney High School in Kirkwood faces another allegation of abuse. Kirkwood police are investigating after a second student raised allegations against Father Robert Osborne. David Cloese, the national director of the Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests, says he's relieved that the second accuser contacted civil authorities.
All too often, even now, parents and victims report to church authorities instead of criminal authorities. So we're grateful that this second person has made an abuse report. We're grateful that he's gone to the police.
The new accusation comes on the heels of a civil suit filed last week claiming that Osborne sexually, physically, and emotionally abused a student. Osborne is on leave from Vianney and maintains his innocence. Residents living around Mark Twain Lake are fighting efforts by a St. Louis area man to build a pig confinement operation near the lake. Richard Lawler represents area residents. He says residents are concerned about how the pig operation would affect their quality of life.
These things have become more densely populated with animals. They can have a drastic effect on just the air pollution. It can have a drastic effect on a neighborhood and neighborhood families.
David Lukemeyer of Baldwin wants to build the pig confinement operation on 400 acres he owns near Mark Twain Lake. The Department of Natural Resources is accepting public comment on the issue until March 2nd. Local residents say they want a hearing before any decision is reached. And state workers clearing out former office space continue to uncover questionable purchases. Workers in Jefferson City recently discovered a 40-year supply of envelopes when clearing out parts of the Truman Office Building, as State Director of Facilities Management David Mosby explains.
We came across enough envelopes, and that number, over 56,000 envelopes in 113 boxes.
In St. Louis, after two state agencies were merged, workers discovered 26 ladders, 100 quarts of two-cycle motor oil, and 3 brand-new weed eaters, although the building had almost no grass. Mosby says the efforts to cut state waste will continue. And that's WGNU News, brought to you by Granite Works. Granite Works just got a new shipment of beautiful granite, exotic new colors like Safari Brown. As little as $38 a square foot. Visit today or call 862-6300. That's 862-6300. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Big mess on eastbound 70. Eastbound 70 at Adelaide, there's an overturned fuel tanker truck. The exit ramp on and off of Adelaide is closed, as well as Adelaide itself being closed. Hazmat crews are on the scene. Westbound 70 at Adelaide is closed also due to that overturned tanker truck that's on Adelaide. Northbound 170 at St. Charles Rock Road, there's an overturned vehicle. Left lane is blocked. Southbound 170 at St. Charles Rock Road, left lane is blocked due to the accident on northbound 170. 270 northbound is slow on either side of 44. Eastbound 40 between 270 and Hanley. Look for congestion to have been cleared. Southbound 55 at Holly Hills and Carondelet. Road construction, two lanes are closed at this hour. Northbound 55 at Gravois and 44. Look for road construction. Left lanes closed. Westbound 44 at Berry Road. Bridge maintenance operations have two left lanes closed. McDonald and Phantom. Look for an accident there. Utah at Gravois. Look for an accident as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Illinois Lottery. New, the Illinois Lottery's Veterans Cash. 100% of the proceeds support health care services and disability programs for Illinois veterans. Play Veterans Cash today, because when you play, everybody wins. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. For today, look forward to partly cloudy skies, high in the lower 60s this evening. Partly cloudy with a low around 40. Moving on to Tuesday, partly cloudy with a high around 70. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 40s. Then on Wednesday, partly sunny. There's a chance for afternoon showers and thunderstorms with a high in the lower 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 41 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 42. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Homeowners, if you want to spend less on bills, how about reducing your mortgage payment up to 35%? It's easy with Quicken Loans. Just write down this number, 800-308-0133. Quicken Loans can show you how to cut your mortgage payment up to 35% so you can make your money work harder, like paying off high-interest credit card bills, affording home improvements, or increasing your retirement savings. Just call 800-308-0133. With over 150 exclusive loan products, the mortgage experts at Quicken Loan have something for you. This could be the most valuable call you'll make all year long. Find out how you can cut your monthly mortgage payments up to 35%. Call Quicken Loans now at 800-308-0133. 800-308-0133. Quicken Loans, America's home loan experts. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. Call now, 800-308-0133.
Praise the Lord, Radio Land. This is Bishop John Blue, inviting you to listen every Saturday afternoon at 1:30 for the Jesus Only Church of God of the Apostolic Faith broadcast. We are living in a time when God is moving in His mighty ways, and I am encouraging you to listen and believe so that you might receive the blessings of God has for you every Saturday afternoon at 1:30, right here on AM 920 WGNU.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I listen? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I listen? Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that the blow that the blow made.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. H.
struggle against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal freedom.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world and how they affect us. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Mondays at 9. Our topic this Monday is something that touches every American out here. Our topic is health insurance. We've had George W. Bush, when he hasn't been hindered or slowed down by vice presidents shooting people in the face and in the heart, when he hasn't been slowed down by the selling of ports controlled to other nations, when he hasn't been slowed down by bombing of mosques in Iraq. His plan this year was to get out there and promote his health insurance solutions. And one of the ways that he wanted to promote that was through health savings accounts. We need to talk about that, even though he's a bit distracted right now with Dubai and everything. He's a bit distracted. Let us talk about it in this vacuum, as this opportunity that we have to discuss whether or not health savings accounts would work. To facilitate that conversation, I have joining me out of Washington, D.C., Jason Furman. He is a senior fellow with the Center on Budget and Policy. Jason, good morning.
Morning.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good. You did a study on the cost and the coverage impact of Bush's health insurance accounts.
That's right.
And you make the, well, give us your summary, your quick summary of these health savings accounts.
Right. This is a plan that would cost $156 billion over 10 years, which presidents never said where that money is going to come from. And the amazing thing about it is it would actually result in more Americans losing their health insurance.
The plan to get more people into, to insure more people actually ensures that more people will be uninsured.
Right. About 600,000 more uninsured as a result of the plan. And the way to understand it is right now, the way the majority of Americans get their health insurance is through their employer. And employers have an incentive, a tax incentive, to offer that health insurance. This plan would get rid of the extra tax incentive employers have. 9 million people would lose their employer-sponsored coverage, a lot of folks working at small businesses. And this is something we've seen happen a lot lately, that the companies stop offering health insurance. Well, this would accelerate that process.
Well, there's also something else going on, and I want to get back to the specifics of how you reached that those conclusions. But I'm looking at this article that just came out of the New York Times on Friday, that this administration is also planning on paying big employers billions of dollars not to end their retiree health plans.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, that doesn't make sense to me either. that we, the taxpayers, are going to be subsidizing health care for big businesses that can afford to insure their employees.
Yeah, well, that's you're now talking the Medicare prescription drug and benefit, and it's over $500 billion. And a lot of that cost is not helping people who don't have prescription drug coverage now or buying new drugs they wouldn't have bought,
but also
buying out different parts of the health system, including employers and businesses.
But we haven't bundled together all of the cost to the American taxpayers of all of these different changes that are going on almost simultaneously here. We're talking about huge amounts of money.
Yeah, no, it's massive, and it's hundreds of billions of dollars, and this administration has been completely reckless. And by the way, that money is going to have to be paid for eventually, and part of how we're going to pay for it, I wouldn't be surprised, is more cuts in Medicare, more cuts in Medicaid, and we've started to see that, and I suspect we'll see a lot more of that in the coming years.
So let's get back to the summary. Now, after looking at the HSAs and how you reach your conclusions, start with describing what an HSA is.
Right. It's something that was enacted as part of the prescription drug bill in 2003, and it's a type of savings account, like an IRA or a 401k, that you can use for health expenses. And you can only use an HSA if you have a so-called high deductible plan. If you pay your family the first $2,000 of health expenses, you would pay out of pocket before the insurance kicks in. We have HSAs already. What the president's proposing is a huge and regressive expansion of them. One nonpartisan analyst back called it the mother of all tax shelters. It would let a family save up to $10,000 a year. It would be tax deductible going in, accumulate tax free, tax deductible coming out, and that has nothing to do with health care. In fact, most families struggling to pay for their health care don't have $10,000 a year lying around that they can save.
Explain how that works. How does a family do that?
Well, the basic philosophy is shifting health bills from employers and from insurance companies to people. And if you have a lot of money, this is going to work for you. I mean, let's be very clear. If you can afford to save $5,000-$10,000 a year, and you're in a high tax bracket, so you get a really good break from the tax deduction, and you're pretty young, and you're pretty healthy, so you don't anticipate a lot of health costs, this plan is going to work terrifically.
So you can just keep accumulating that money?
You can keep accumulating that money. So you could have in this health savings account, $500,000, $1 million growing tax-free eventually. If you reach retirement, you can then withdraw it.
Without penalty?
So you don't even need to use it for health care. It's for health expenses prior to retirement or anything after retirement.
So wait a minute. You could accumulate $1 million in this fund. You could never use it because you do have health care. You can never use it. Then you retire, and you can withdraw that money out of that account. There's no penalty for that?
That's right. Well, you pay... It's the same tax treatment as an IRA or a 401k when you withdraw the money in retirement for non-health purposes. So you're no worse off. In fact, you're slightly better off than if you had done an IRA or a 401k. So this is this all has nothing to do with health care. No one needs to or can even really afford to accumulate $500,000 in an account for health care. This is a pretext for an agenda the president has long had. He has two solutions to every problem. Number one is tax cuts for the wealthiest, and number two are accounts. And that was his solution to Social Security, and that's now his solution to health care. This plan brilliantly brings the two of those together, and it has regressive tax subsidies for the accounts, which ostensibly are for health care, but you don't even really need to use them for health care at the end of the day.
Who can benefit by this? I mean, let me back up. How can the average person benefit with this program?
Well, the theory is that it's meant to control health costs. And the problem is he doesn't understand what's going on with health costs in our system. 70% of the health expenditures in our country are by 10% of people in any given year. It's things like cancer treatment or surgery, angioplasty, or expensive procedures. Procedures like that aren't affected by the deductible in this plan. Even these high deductible plans, which make you pay the first $2,000 of expenses, you know, your trip to the doctor's office for a checkup, something like that, that's not what's driving the cost in the health system. Cost increases, and that's exactly what this plan is designed to address.
I've read articles that more and more people are signing up to be part of these HSAs, these health savings accounts. Are there any numbers out there to support that?
There's 3 million people who are in high deductible insurance policies, you know, where they have to pay a lot of the cost themselves. About 1 million of them have these health savings accounts. And as I said, if you're young, you're wealthy, and you're healthy, this might be a good deal for you. But why the taxpayers as a whole should pay $156 billion for a plan that would increase the number of uninsured, that wouldn't control health costs, that would shift more of the burden of health to more families, you know, with this thin, narrow sliver of winners.
How do people explain how people get kicked off or fewer, or your summary said that there will be fewer people, there will be more people left uninsured. Explain how that works.
Right. Right now, 180 million Americans get their insurance through their employers. It's the main way in which people get health insurance in this country. And there's two reasons employers do that. One is because it's convenient, because their workers like it, and because they can get a good deal by buying as a group. The president's plan doesn't change that, and so a lot of employers would still offer health insurance. But the second reason employers offer health insurance is that you get a tax break when you buy it through your employer that you don't have access to when you try to buy it on your own. So that's a tax advantage to buying insurance through your employer.
That the company gets.
No, all economists would agree it's passed on to the workers.
Okay.
Basically, you're not... If you get paid in the form of health insurance, you don't pay taxes on that money, unlike being paid in the form of cash. It's for the worker, but it leads people to want to get health insurance through their companies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the president's plan would get rid of that extra tax advantage by allowing anyone to get a tax deduction for health insurance. And that, again, sounds like it might be a good idea, but once anyone can get a tax deduction for health insurance, the special advantages employers have goes away. And once that special advantage goes away, a lot of small businesses, a lot of companies that aren't sure whether they want to offer health insurance or not would end up dropping that coverage. So 9 million people would lose their employer-sponsored health care.
Which means that they would not be able to have access to the whole group policy advantage that businesses bring to the table.
Exactly. Now, a lot of those 9 million are going to get individual policies, individual market policies. They're not all going to become uninsured, but the individual market doesn't pool people together. And so you lose two things. One, you lose the ability to have people that are healthier and people that are sicker all in one pool, which makes insurance work better. The other thing you lose is just some of the administrative efficiencies, ability to purchase in bulk and get a better price and those types of things. And as a result, individual market insurance policies are substantially more expensive. And if you have any pre-existing conditions, you know, you have diabetes or something, they're not going to cover them.
And so how do people get kicked off?
Their employers, for 9 million people, their employers will just not offer health insurance.
And then there will
now,
be...
Now, again, that's not going to be the biggest companies. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of reasons that companies offer health insurance, and a lot of them are still going to offer health insurance. But some of them, especially the small businesses, are going to decide as a result of this plan, you know, my employees can go it alone. They can go on their own. They can get the health insurance themselves, and they're not going to offer it anymore.
And then out of those that will now have to, that are now being forced to get it on their own, you make the argument that a certain percentage of those are not going to be able to get health insurance at all.
Exactly. Probably about 600,000 will lose their health insurance. And there's some uncertainty around that number. It may be a little more. It may be a little less.
Well,
but either way, it's just crazy to have a $156 billion plan that's not going to reduce health insurance. I mean, you could give a monkey $156 billion, and it could figure out how to use the money to get health insurance or make health care more affordable for Americans. It's it's a real challenge to take that much money and increase the number of uninsured and not cut health costs.
Doesn't this also have a intended or unintended positive impact for insurance companies, because now they can cherry pick people?
Yeah, insurance companies actually like the individual market for exactly the reason you just said. They get to decide. Somebody shows up, they want health insurance. The insurance company looks at them long and hard and says, you know, you look really healthy to me, you can have health insurance. You look somewhat unhealthy, you can pay, you know, an extremely high price and have health insurance that doesn't cover the problems you might have, and somebody else they can turn away altogether. So, yeah, insurance companies like it. There's also just higher administrative costs. They can just, you know, which often shows up in the form of profits. They can just charge more money in the individual market.
And I guess given how sick our nation is, given the obesity issues, given the diabetes issues, starting in children, given the high blood pressure issues, we are an unhealthy nation. Can we figure into the numbers of who the uninsured people are going to be? That it's really, it probably is bigger than the number that you're saying.
Everything you just said actually doesn't necessarily make it bigger. What it means is that probably about 5 million people who currently have insurance are no longer going to have insurance. Those people are going to tend to be a little bit older, a little bit sicker.
Mm-hmm.
About 4 million people that are currently uninsured will get insurance as a result of this, but they're the youngest, healthiest, and wealthiest of the group. So that 600,000, that increase in the number of uninsured, for the reasons you just said, masks a bigger problem, which is the people getting the insurance, in a sense, need it a little bit less, and the people losing it need it a lot more.
And
I mean, everyone needs insurance.
Yes.
I'm just comparing.
And we need to take a break. I'm talking to Jason Furman. He is the senior fellow with the Center on Budget and Policy based out of Washington, D.C. I'm Liz Brown. This is Mondays at 9, and we're talking about the cost and the coverage impact of George W. Bush's health insurance budget proposals. Stay with us.
Can't go that way. Can't put it on another day. I don't care what others say. They think we don't listen anyway. Time has come today.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. This is the station that discusses the issues that matter most to you. And if you have a problem with personal work or family relationships, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Tune in to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Weekday afternoons from 2 to 4. Then go do the right thing.
Praise the Lord, everyone. This is the Elder Mitchell Thornton of the All Request Sweet Sounds of Music. We bring you the best gospel sounds in St. Louis, as well as the up-to-date church news to help you plan your weekend worship every Saturday morning from 7:30 a.m. to 8 a.m. right here on WGNU 920 on your radio dial.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Mondays at 9. And my guest is Jason Furman. He's a senior fellow with the Center on Budget and Policy based out of Washington, D.C. And we're talking about George W. Bush's HSAs, health savings accounts. Jason, you've talked about the extraordinary amount of money that these accounts will cost. Explain how it's going to cost that. Explain where the premiums are going to, how they're going to be paid
uh-huh.
for.
Uh-huh. basically, the plan, first of all, lets you save $10,500 a year tax-free. And that is just a big cost to the Treasury. I mean, it's a nice thing for the person that gets it, but we need to pay for it.
And
it needs to pay for it.
And what were the two ways that you make the point in your analysis that they would be subsidized by two ways? Talk
right.
to us about that.
You get that. Both. It's actually an unprecedented tax shelter in that you get when you contribute to an HSA, you get a tax deduction when you put the money in. You also get a tax credit, a 15.3% tax credit when you put the money in. The money then grows tax-free, and you get to withdraw it tax-free. So that's an unprecedented set of tax advantages for any form of saving.
So let me so break that down so that the person can really understand this this double a wham that you get when you have these health savings accounts.
Right. You basically get if you put $10,000 in, you get a tax credit, which reduces your taxes by $1,500.
So, and a tax credit, if you get $500 a child, $1,000 as an adult, up to three.
Oh, this is a different one. That, you're talking a different proposal.
Okay.
That's not as HSA proposal.
Okay.
Let's talk about that in a second. But if you contribute $10,000 to your account, put $10,000 away, you get $1,500 off your taxes in the tax credit. You also get a tax deduction, which might be worth $2,500. So that's already worth $4,000 of tax breaks to you. The money then accumulates tax-free, and if you use it for health care, you get to use it tax-free as well. So that is all just for putting away if you can afford to put away $10,000, you're going to get $4,000 of tax breaks. That's the high-income proposal that the president has. You then started to talk about a low-income proposal. For years, he's proposed for families to give them a tax credit of up to $3,000 a year for health insurance for very low-income families, $1,000 for an individual. The amazing thing about that proposal is that each year health insurance premiums go up, and he proposes the same $3,000. He proposed it 4 years ago. Health costs are up 60% since then, and he's proposing the same amount of money for low-income families.
For low-income families.
The other thing that he did this year for the first time was he said low-income families can only get that tax credit if they get the type of health insurance that the president thinks they should get. That is one of these high-deductible plans where they pay at least $2,000 on their own. As a result, the Treasury is assuming that a lot fewer low-income people are going to take the plan than were projected to last year, and the president's actually cut the cost of his low-income plan by two-thirds.
It's being touted as something to get at low-income people.
And the low-income plan will help a little bit. I mean, $1,000, $3,000 is not enough. It doesn't do the most important thing, which is pull people together and give them an affordable option. The main reason
but they have
that
to agree.
People don't have health insurance is because they can't get affordable health insurance. This won't help. But it will. It would help a little, so, a million or 2 million people will get health insurance.
But wait a minute. If I'm understanding this right, Jason, you first have to commit to an insurance company where you have to pay these extraordinary high deductibles to begin with.
Correct.
So if you're already in a program that you don't have to pay those deductibles, you can't get this tax benefit.
That's correct.
So the help comes in the form of first you've got to commit to paying a whole lot of money for health insurance.
Correct. And that, by the way, is a new requirement. Last year when he made the same proposal, he didn't have that requirement for the really expensive health plans. And because of that, his Treasury Department is assuming that a lot fewer poor people will be covered than were covered by even the president's own inadequate proposal that he made last year.
What could possibly be the thought behind adding that new component? Who benefits from that?
They had a proposal that was extremely costly. They took the high-income tax cuts for health care and quadrupled them in size relative to what they proposed last year. I think then they said, this is getting too expensive. We need to figure out how to make our proposal cost a little bit less. And they said, aha, there's this low-income part of our proposal. Why don't we figure out how to save money on that? So they had a health plan last year. This year they said, we're going to make our high-income health cuts, tax cuts, four times more expensive, and we're going to make our low-income health tax cuts cost one-third as much as they did last year. I think it's really phenomenal.
And consistent, because that's where the cuts are coming from across the board for everything, on the
backs
of poor people.
That's right. And it's interesting because the White House puts out an economic report of the president every year, and one came out about 2 weeks ago. And it said quite clearly that the economic evidence shows that when low-income people or sicker people are put into these high-deductible plans, that they'll forego needed care end up with worse health as a result.
Of course they will, because health insurance is there, too.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree. I think it's pretty obvious, but it's right there in the president's economic report of the president, and then they turn around and they say that poor people can only get help for health insurance if they take one of these high deductible plans where they bear the cost.
And which keeps them out of the hospital systems.
Exactly.
Let me get to a caller or two here. Scott, you have a question for our guest, Jason Furman.
I haven't heard this guy or a lot of the information he's sharing anywhere else in the corporate media, or anywhere in the corporate media, or even on NPR. On NPR, they were talking about this, and some of these things they didn't even mention. And I don't know. I'm just, you know, I'm glad you got this guy on. I'm glad you're sharing this information. I just wish the corporate media and NPR, which I guess Bush controls their budget or has a lot of influence on it, you know, I just wish they would, you know, tell these suckers the truth.
Thanks for your call, Scott. You get a lot of that, Jason?
Sure, and if you don't mind me doing a quick plug for the website
for
the organization I work for, you'll find a lot of great information on this as well as other budget issues at www.cbpp.org.
And the challenge is getting this information out there. Like I said, I've received at least a half a dozen faxes from organizations touting how these savings accounts are going to be wonderful, and that more and more people are joining up on them, and that this is truly a solution.
Right. What's interesting is this may not – I don't think this is that politically popular. I don't know if you remember, but in the run-up to the State of the Union, there was all this talk about how health was going to be a centerpiece of the State of the Union. And then it was barely discussed. And I think it's because, this is my own theory, I have no idea if it's true, that there was a section, and the section was all about how families are, you know, insurance companies are paying too much health care, families should pay more of the cost on their own, they should comparison shop, they should figure out which emergency room doctor to go to when they're having a heart attack. And I think they put that in the State of the Union, I think they put it in front of a focus group, and I think the focus group hated it.
Mm-hmm.
And they pulled it out.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my theory, because a lot of this is just the concept that people pay more of their own health costs, and that they comparison shop, and that they treat this like clothing is just not one that's very popular.
It's repugnant. It really is to the American people. And in terms of other entity or hearing from Capitol Hill on this, what are we hearing from legislators? Is it silence on the Republican side and Democrats are offering nothing up? What are we hearing?
Democrats have been very critical of this, and Democrats have a lot of great ideas on
mm-hmm.
health care. They just have no ability whatsoever to get them done.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the Republican side, it's actually been interesting. There has not been a lot of enthusiasm on Capitol Hill. And again, I think it's that when people understand that these are a set of regressive tax breaks designed to promote a theory of health insurance that most Americans don't like, some of those Republicans are shying away from it. I mean, we'll have to see where it goes. It's one of the White House's top priorities. Some of the folks in the House of Representatives, some of the Republicans like it, but
are they going to be? Are they
very
gonna,
quiet?
Are they going to be brave enough to really go out there and push hard on this? Because I can't imagine going to a group of seniors and being successful with pushing this.
Right. Well, you know, after the prescription drug benefit, I think it would be safe to say Republicans are a little bit less certain about some of their theories about health care, at least the political realities that surround this theory.
And that didn't work out too well for them, did it?
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to another caller here. You have a question for our guest.
Yes, sir. Isn't this part of Cheney's doctrine, the Halliburton, as an example, that the government programs that you can't outright liquidate, you privatize it?
Thank you
very much.
Thank you for your call. And is that, I mean, are we seeing just the strangulation as opposed to the outright killing of a lot of these programs?
Right. It's exactly the philosophy, which is to shift more of the risks to individuals, to shift more of the burdens to individuals. And it's not just privatizing it, which we've seen in the Medicare prescription drug benefit, which is effectively privatized. They also don't like people getting this insurance through their employers. They'd much rather see them go into the individual market where those that are the most fit will survive and the sort of 80% that are, you know, the 80% won't.
The fittest shall survive.
So it's a real, everyone floats on their own boat, not just privatizing government services, but having corporations privatize and individualize the services they provide as well.
I want to thank you very much, Jason Furman, Senior Fellow with the Center on Budget and Policy based out of Washington, D.C. You have another. Give us a website again, please.
Sure. It's www.cbpp.org.
Jason, thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks for having me.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, the wake-up call. We'll be back in the last 15 minutes for your calls, questions, and comments. I'm taking a break. Stay with me.
What you don't understand, my words might never explain. So I am hoping that I will. Things may not go as you planned. Dark clouds might bring you pain, but I will be in your heart still, telling you to. Don't feast your eyes on things that are on the ground. And if it gets hard to focus when you're traveling almost at the speed of sound, feeling nowhere bound, remember what I told you and don't.
Your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Manila. Philippine President Gloria Arroyo is being criticized for a heavy-handed tactic she's using in the wake of declaring a state of emergency over an attempted coup. Former President Fidel Ramos, who was an ally of hers, says she has used the emergency declaration to give the term democracy a big black eye. He said there was no reason for her overreaction because no actual coup attempt had ever materialized. What happened was several military leaders said they had stopped a plan by troops who were unhappy with her leadership to take part in protests to try and force her to quit. A number of people have been critical of the president, and they have now been arrested. And a newspaper that took an opposition stand against her administration was also raided as part of the declaration of martial law. And Dateline Moscow. The Russian Navy says a new nuclear attack submarine is on the drawing board now. Research had been stymied for a number of years because after the Soviet Union fell, there was little money available for research and development. But now the United States has built a new class of attack submarines called a Virginia class, and the Russians say they can't afford to fall any farther behind. The new Russian class will be slightly smaller than the new Virginia class, but they expect theirs to be more automated and quieter. Defense analysts say their new submarines may not be as sophisticated as the American ones, but improved Russian technology could wind up helping China develop better submarines as an end result. China is far behind in building reliable and effective submarines. This is your wake-up call global news update.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown. inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis. AM 920 WGNU.
This message is only for business owners and managers. How would you like to be able to increase your sales anytime you wanted? Need to do a new advertising campaign, but first you need some extra business to pay for it? You want to make improvements to your store, but first you need some extra business to pay for it? You want to take that needed vacation, but first you need some extra business to pay for it? What you need is ITEX, I-T-E-X, the International Trade Exchange. With ITEX, you'll get new customers who will go out of their way to do business with you. The ITEX network works like a nationwide sales force to increase your sales and reduce cash expenses to improve your bottom line profits. So join the other smart business owners right here in St. Louis who have already found out how to increase their business and improve not only their bottom line, but also their quality of life. Contact Herb Steck at your local ITEX office to see how much new business you can get and how much cash you can save. Call 636-441-8930. Remember that number, 636-441-8930. With ITEX, you and your business can trade for a better life.
Learn the proper way to fillet steak and prepare fish with little to no waste. This class takes place at the Hengist Range and Conservation Education Center in High Ridge on Wednesday, March 8th from 6 to 8 p.m. All equipment will be provided or you may bring your own fillet knife. Families are welcome. Registration closes March 3rd. To find out more or to register, call 636-441-4554. Fishy news to you from Radio Free St. Louis.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Also, my show is archived daily on WhiteRoseSociety.org. That's WhiteRoseSociety.org. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Yes, hi, Liz.
Good morning.
I was inspired this past weekend on Saturday by Tavis Smiley, State of the Black Family presentation, and I heard people like Harry Belafonte and Dr. Cornel West and Louis Farrakhan and Congresswoman Sheila Lee and Al Sharpton and others talk about The Covenant, which is a book that they're presenting on black issues they'll be presenting to politicians in the upcoming campaigns of black issues they should address.
You saw this on cable?
This was on C-SPAN.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it will be re-aired today at 7:30 on C-SPAN 2.
The covenant concept is something that, did you ever have a chance to read the book now his name has escaped me, Defending the Spirit by Randall Robinson?
Yes.
Okay, remember in the book, Defending the Spirit, he talked about these black cards.
Oh,
that people are supposed
okay.
to carry around with them.
Uh-huh.
And on the back of them are these are the issues that every politician is supposed to be measured
right.
by. So
yeah.
whenever a politician comes to speak for you, you whip out your card and you say, well, where are you on this issue? Where are you on
right.
this issue? Where are you on this issue? Randall Robinson talked about that in his book, Defending the Spirit.
Okay,
so this is a good thing.
Card that you have.
That's the black.
Of.
That's
yes.
what I'm talking. That's exactly what Randall Robinson was
I
talking about.
That.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, that's great.
All right,
and it's a wonderful presentation. In fact, Tavis Smiley is in St. Louis today, I think.
Okay.
He'll be at Kennerly Temple Church on 4307 Kennerly at 7 o'clock, and it's a town hall meeting. And they'll be discussing the covenant and other things.
Very good.
All right.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
454-0400 is my phone number. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you this morning?
Barbara, I'm outstanding. What's on your mind?
Great. I guess you're happily living your life as an African Nigerian now.
That is correct.
I missed your analysis Friday, but I was glad to hear that. And the genes don't lie. You're intelligent, quick-witted, and scare people to death if they get off on the wrong foot. Your genes
okay.
are right.
Okay.
Okay. I went ahead and just called to ask you about what the lady just called about. I wanted to know if you knew where it was going to be, but by waiting, I found out.
There
and,
you go.
Yep, and I enjoyed your former guest about the health care. That is so sad.
Isn't it just amazing?
This is
that's
going
why,
down the toilet, girl.
It really is, and that's why it is imperative that people really plug themselves into what's happening to them, and they have to stay informed. And the concept that Randall Robinson talked about in his book, this card,
right.
is such a, that's why it's such a powerful thing, because a lot of people would make the argument that I don't have time to I can't live my life and do all of this stuff at the same time. The card helps with that.
Right.
It
did
helps.
You see the group, Tavis Smiley's thing? It was all day Saturday. Did you watch it?
I did not.
Oh, it was excellent. And he has the book. He has curriculum for children. It's an all-laid-out plan. And they had the old school, all the older people. Then they had the middle-aged group, your age. Then they had the young people, young college graduates,
mm-hmm.
all on three different panels for about 3 hours each. And it was just amazing. They had the politicians. They had everybody up there. It was just great.
Very
and I recorded the whole thing, and I wanted to know where that's going to be tonight, because I planned
at Kennerly Temple. That's Bishop Ward, and he's the bomb. So, of course,
all
we
right.
would be bringing him in. So that's Kennerly Temple.
All right, then.
All right.
You have a good day.
Take care of yourself. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And I would really, in terms of getting people to pay attention to the issues that are confronting us here, it is a heads up to you all. Really pay attention to what is going on in Iraq with this bombing of the mosque, the Askari Mosque, a key Shia shrine. It's a big deal. It's probably the most significant event to happen in Iraq that is going to determine more than the trillions of dollars that George W. Bush has taken of our money and put into Iraq, more of the thousands of Americans' lives that George Bush has taken as a result of this preemptive strike on Iraq, more than any other thing in terms of determining the future of Iraq, this event, I submit to you, is going to be the event that determines the future of Iraq. You got to understand the players in this. You also have to understand what is being said by many Iraqi people. The Shiites are making the claim that the United States bombed this holy place. The Shiites believe that because the Shiites now believe that Washington is siding with the Sunnis. Why would the Shiites believe that the United States is siding with the Sunnis? Do not forget, you got to know this stuff. The Shiites, road dogs, their best friends, who they hang out with, who they like, who they support, who they believe in, are the Iranian people. They're big supporters of Iran. Who has this government been banging the drums about? Who, all of you know that this government is making talking smack talk about getting us into war with Iran. Well, their best friends are the Shiites. So because the United States, because George Bush has been banging the war drum towards making the moves towards Iran, the Shiites are thinking, he ain't my friend. Yeah, I ain't playing me for a fool. He ain't my friend. So what better way to get back at the Shiites than to bomb a holy place of theirs and start a civil war that would take the Shiites out of power, according to the minds of Iraqis. And understand that the Kurds are mad at us too, because they're seeing that they're not going to be able to be autonomous and under this new $1 trillion, 2,000 plus lives plan of George W. Bush. And the Sunnis are supposed to be part of this. They're supposed to be investing in this. And how can they? It's madness. It is utter madness. And, oh, by the way, that the one battalion of Iraqis that over 2,000 lives have paid for, over trillions of dollars of your tax money has paid for the training of the one battalion of about 800 Iraqi men, the ones that are supposed to be able to fight without us, they've been downgraded. They're back to fighting with us. We have to now send our guys to help them out. And they're the best trained battalion, the only trained battalion that trillions of dollars and over 2,000 lives have paid for. We have one battalion to show for it. And they've been downgraded. Not upgraded, but downgraded. They can't fight by themselves. Why you suppose that is? Why you suppose we can't send them out there by themselves to fight on behalf of this democracy that your tax dollars have paid for, huh? Because it's not working. I'm Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get to me. But not today. We're coming to the end of the show today. I want to thank you all for listening. I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Until then, stay strong.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution with the air of the
truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's
the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from NBC News. I'm Daria Albinger. The president sits down with the nation's governors today, and he can expect an earful from them on one issue in particular. ABC's Ann Compton with details from the White House.
The president is braced for some complaints about how the war in Iraq has drained the National Guard. All 50 governors have written to quarrel with future funding cuts for the National Guard, which, of course, are